about hearing this again. Go stealth and get the phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Shots fired briefly from buildings delayed a convoy of buses carrying men released today from Iraq's Abu Ghraib prison. The shooting forced U.S. military escorts to hunker down, and the buses, more than 13 of them, stopped in their tracks. Hundreds of relatives who had been following the convoy also stopped, but once the shooting ended, they swarmed around the vehicles. Prisoners then got off the buses and went home with their families. The release is the third from the facility since the scandal broke over the abuse of detainees last month. U.S. forces have blocked the highways leading into the Iraqi city of Kufa, where explosions have been heard. The cause of the blast is not known yet. The explosions come a day after a deal was made to end the fighting between U.S. forces and Shiite insurgents, both in Kufa and in the twin city of Najaf. Members of the militia loyal to a Shiite cleric, Muqtada al-Sadr, have been seen in Kufa streets. CNN, which has reported embedded with U.S. forces in Kufa, says American troops captured four men who said they were unaware of the agreement to halt the fighting. Speaking of journalists, three veteran NBC journalists and an Iraqi freelancer have been released after they were captured 3 days ago in the city of Fallujah. Television Network says local Iraqi leaders helped mediate with what it calls armed Iraqis who let the reporters go after their identities as working journalists became clear. NBC says the journalists are in good health. Network says it never announced their capture for security reasons. One may recall that earlier this week, President Bush made clear that the names of those participants and a new Iraqi government would be announced before the week is over. The president made the declaration in his well-publicized address at the Army War College in Pennsylvania. Well, there's no indication as of this morning that the announcement will be made.
The United Nations Special Envoy Lakhdar Brahimi is now consulting with a broad spectrum of Iraqis to determine the composition of this interim government. The Special Envoy intends to put forward the names of interim government officials this week.
President George W. Bush in Pennsylvania earlier this week with his pledge. We'll keep posted on that one. White House spokesman Scott McClellan tried to pour water on fiery speculation at the administration's news conference the day before about possible threats against Americans by terrorists was not politically driven. Some within the ranks of the Democratic Party have accused the president of rolling out his attorney general and FBI chief to discuss terrorist threats at a time his poll numbers over Iraq are down and appears to be tying the Iraq and U.S. occupation to global terrorism. While some Democrats have been vocal about fueling speculation, presidential campaign of the apparent party nominee John Kerry is saying no one should underestimate the threat of terror in the United States. Rescue efforts continue in the Dominican Republic and Haiti, where severe flooding has claimed the lives of well over 2,000 people in the last 72 hours. Authorities in the DR have sprayed disinfectant from aircraft to prevent the spread of disease spawned by decomposing bodies. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Are you a shift worker or work nights? Do you have complaints of excessive sleepiness on the job, including your commute to and from work? If so, you may have evidence of chronic shift work sleep disorder, a medical condition with excessive sleepiness associated with working nights. Clinilabs Incorporated is conducting a research trial of an investigational medication for excessive sleepiness associated with chronic shift work sleep disorder. If you have complaints of excessive sleepiness and are working a late or overnight shift and are 18 to 65 years of age, you may qualify to participate. Daytime and overnight visits are required, and compensation for time and travel will be provided. Qualified participants will receive trial-related medication and care at no cost. Call Clinilabs Incorporated now at 212-994-4578 to see if you qualify. That's Clinilabs Incorporated at 212-994-4578. 212-994-4578.
Want something extra? It's the JCPenney Memorial Day sale now through Monday. Save 20 to 50% store-wide, including 25 to 50% off swimwear for the entire family, just in time for summer. Plus, get extra savings. Save an extra 15% on your purchase when you use your JCPenney card. For extra great savings this weekend, don't miss the JCPenney Memorial Day sale.
It's all inside.
JCPenney. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends May 31st.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Laura Flanders.
You didn't even recognize me.
You're one actor. You're one hell of an actor.
Well, I did something different with my hair
than
what I have today.
A hair adjustment in your identity.
Right.
Or Osama bin Laden really needs to do it. Just that hair, we'd never recognize him.
Right. He could be right here with us now.
Tell us about working with Tim Burton.
That was good. He has interesting hair also.
Laura Flanders on Air America Radio.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, Friday, our final liberal agenda to hold you over for the three-day weekend. Plus, who's the best guy to represent America in Iraq? Naturally, the Dark Lord of Iran-Contra will probe his sordid past with one of our guests. But right now, it's Friday morning, and I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott getting ready for the Memorial Day weekend.
Weekend.
Aren't you happy?
Oh, I'm overjoyed.
You, Sue?
Oh, yeah. 3 days off. Are you kidding?
It's
unbelievable. What's not to be happy about? Yeah.
I feel like I'm about to cry.
We're going to tear through this. The next 3 hours will go by in a flash.
Man, I hope you're right. No, it's going to be great. I mean, I'm looking forward to going. I went out and looked at paintings yesterday. I did something proactive culturally.
Really?
Do you care?
Yeah.
Does anyone care?
Where'd you go?
I went. My buddy Phil Bauer, who's a painter out in L.A., said there's some guys' paintings I got to go see. And I went to see him downtown. The cat's name is Mark Messe, or Jonathan Messe. And it was sort of like, look at this stuff. I mean, can you see it out there in your car?
Oh, wow.
It's sort of like Basquiat,
de
Kooning, Dubuffet, hybrid, kind of like dramatic stuff going on, a lot of texture. And I got to tell you, you know, it's weird. Even if I don't like a painting, if it's, you know, sometimes it's like anything, I guess, with comedy or art of any kind. When you stand in front of it, you know you're in the hands of a professional or an amateur. You know what I mean? You may not like it, but you're like, this guy knows what he's doing, you know? And this guy seems to know what he was doing, but there's sometimes where it's just like I look at paintings and I understand, you know, I kind of understand what's going on, but I'm like, you know, it makes me say, you know, wow, man, I picked the wrong line of work.
Right. I look at that and go, yep, he knows what he's doing, but boy, do I not need to meet him.
Yeah. Right. It's very,
it's very violent, so
primitive, weird, abstract stuff. There's like photographs of him with the devil face
maybe,
up in the corner.
Maybe somewhat unhinged.
Yeah, it's very chaotic and apocalyptic. I like it, you know what I mean? But as they say in the upper crusty circles, don't know if I could live with it.
My appreciation of art kind of stops at four dogs playing poker.
Come on, man.
Yeah, man. I mean some of that stuff reminds me of the side of the building, you know, side of the building graffiti sort of stuff that you used to see back in the day.
Well, I think there's elements of that in there. Listen to me now. I'm all of a sudden a professor. There's definitely graffiti elements in this. And also the way he uses texture and drippings is reminiscent
of
art of the late 50s. But I...
Didn't Mapplethorpe use drippings? Oh, no, that was different.
No,
sorry.
He's a photographer.
Oh!
But I'm not going there, dude. I'm not going into the drippings of Mapplethorpe.
I don't know.
I'll absent myself for a coffee.
I was excited, though. I was excited to go see paintings again because I was brought up with it. My mother was a painter, and I was, you know, sort of force-fed art my entire life, and it makes me feel connected. And I do like the guy's work.
Is that Soho or East Village?
It was in Soho.
Okay.
But
the shopping mall of New York.
Oh, yeah. I remember it. Soho when there was nothing there.
Really?
Absolutely. It was the time. Soho used to be manufacturing lofts, you know, sweatshops, essentially. Mm-hmm. And by the time I went to college, which was in the late 60s, early 70s, all of those manufacturing people had moved out to Jersey. So Soho was literally a ghost town. After dark, nobody was there. And then little by little, these artists
The first
started
artist
coming.
Went into a loft and said, well, I could paint
I
here.
I could paint here,
and
it's
a
nice
nickel.
Light. And it's a nickel a month.
It costs a nickel a month. When I look at paintings, I really, you know, it really forces me to, like, say to myself, man, what do you really do? You know what I mean? Like, you know, these cats, they, like, painters are intense because they just, they focus down, they make their own reality, they spend hours and hours and build these beautiful things on canvas. And, like, you know, I just stand before them, like, I talk to people and make them laugh.
Not all painters are like that. Some painters goof around and get up late and then, you know, have a surge of energy for about 3 months and then do all their paintings and shut themselves off from the world and then sell them all and then cruise the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But you're right. They are incredibly self-absorbed.
Yeah, and it's an amazing thing when they do it well. I mean, you know, I'm happy it exists. And it's like one of these art forms that I don't know how many people really pay attention to anymore, you know?
Well, if you have tons of money. The art market is through the roof right now.
Yeah. I know, but that's just the thing. It's like these people, the patrons of the art are always this wealthy little sort of like, it's like a hobby for people with a lot of money.
First of all, you have to have walls big enough to put that giant stuff on there. It's no good for the average one-bedroom apartment in Manhattan.
It's amazing how much stuff sells for, though. Do you have friends who are art collectors or painters?
Both. But, you know, I figured I'd just get my kids to draw pictures for me. I'll stick them on the wall. It's a lot cheaper.
You know, it's funny. I went to a friend's house one time over where I live in New Jersey. Walked in the door, and it was a floor-to-ceiling Basquiat.
Really?
Yeah.
He was actually great. You know, when
he used to hang out in the same club I used to go to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was the guy nodding in the corner.
Well, he and Keith Haring were both they were both garage heads.
So I know cats who have those Keith Haring subway pictures.
Oh, yeah.
That he used to do in the subways, and I know a guy who ripped one off of the subway wall, and it must be worth like a couple hundred grand now.
Yeah, I have some friends that have some of his original stuff. The Atomic Baby was his favorite.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And, you know, there was a wall coming down the FDR Drive with a crack is whack wall.
I remember that.
Yeah.
It was several figures, right?
Yeah. He was from Allentown, Pennsylvania. They have a museum down there. They have a huge exhibit of his stuff down there.
It got kind
of
hacky after a while, the little guy. You know what I mean?
Everybody copied it.
It became quite an industry, the little dude with the little lines around his head. Like,
well, he had a clothing shop with T-shirts with that stuff on it. After a while, it became a money machine.
I found myself having contempt for the little herring fellas.
I still do see sort of alternative stuff downtown. There's been a graffiti artist who's been going around in New York and painting things on lamp posts, like little cartoon things.
Oh, that's you know, there was a guy, and again,
kind of weird looking.
Not to reference the past too much, but there was a guy that used to tag himself Stay High 149. This is back in the day when everybody had either a street address or whatever. If you lived in Manhattan or the Bronx, this is in New York now. And Stay High 149 one day went in a train station, and they had these new tiles, these little tiles. He put his mark on every one of about 1,000 tiles.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I was standing, how anal is this guy? My goodness. Every last tile. And he used to do a stick figure with a halo over the top and a joint in his hand.
Let it be known that I am here. You know, the most amazing art in New York City, and I think we should move on to the news. We could just talk about art all day.
Yeah.
I just did a Chris DiPresto. But, the new tile stuff at the subway stops, the mosaic stuff, I'm a freak for mosaic. I don't even know what that means or why, but I really find it appealing. And some of this stuff is really trippy. Have you seen some of the tile work?
Yeah, the public art here is great. I think at Columbus Circle Station, they have that huge, long walkway. The city's done a really good job, actually, cleaning up the stations and putting art in there.
Oh, stunning.
Yeah. Well, there's a really long walkway in Grand Central. It has nothing but Air America stuff all over. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I saw that.
You saw the
posters. Yeah, the last remaining Air America posters.
Yeah. You know, you talked earlier, Mark Maron, about being disconnected with reality.
Yeah.
It looks as though the Bush administration and some very specific components in the Bush administration are totally disconnected from
reality. Floating away in orbit.
Well, I mean, here we are on Friday. People are asking at the head of the Memorial Day weekend, did Attorney General John Ashcroft cry wolf when he issued that terror threat on Wednesday? That was just Wednesday, 48 hours ago. Some Bush administration, now, mind you, if it had been radicals like you or, you know, whoever, would say that's one thing. But there are Bush administration officials who are saying now that Homeland Security boss Tom Ridge was torpedoed by Ashcroft and FBI Director Robert Mueller. After all, it's Ridge's Department of Homeland Security that is supposed to publicly issue terror threat warnings, not Ashcroft.
Did you get this picture in your head of Ridge and someone running into his office and go, turn on the TV?
What?
What's happening? Well, that's supposed to be
that's
me.
My job, yeah. Damn it.
That's what we said yesterday when they issued the photographs of the seven people they wanted public assistance in tracking down. That, you know, what we said yesterday, there's surely some failure to communicate between these guys. We don't really trust them to kind of pull this off. And this is a classic case of a turf battle between the Homeland Security Department and the Department of Justice.
Well, wasn't it the Homeland
Security? They still haven't improved their act.
Yeah. Wasn't it supposed to be the Homeland Security's job to bring the all the intelligence community agencies together?
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
Now apparently in the upper administration, too, said that Ashcroft might have been jumping the gun here, too, didn't they?
Well, ironically enough, the White House is trying to downplay all this. But a California congressman, by the name of
the briefing.
Yeah, right. Republican Congressman Christopher Cox from California went so far as to issue a statement yesterday critical of Ashcroft releasing this terror threat. Now, this isn't a Democrat. This is no radical guy.
Yeah.
This is a member of Bush's party. And this is, by the way, Cox is an ally of Tom Ridge's. So the struggles between Justice and Homeland Security, by the way, are not new. After all, it was George W. Bush who didn't want the Homeland Security Department created in the first place. We should remember that.
Right.
That back when they were first talking about this in the wake of September 11th, he opposed it. Then there's the question of whether there was any new information or intelligence warranting such an alert. Some intelligence officials have told Newsweek they were not aware of any surge in chatter, as the Attorney General mentioned on Wednesday. In fact, six of the seven people wanted for terrorist leanings, the list, the photos that you were talking about, Sue, they have been targeted by law enforcement before.
So it certainly opens it up to, once again, speculation about the timing.
Yeah.
You know, the tanking speech on Monday, and then all of a sudden it's like, be afraid!
Yeah.
Vote for us!
Yeah.
It didn't make sense, did it? Because they said, you know, that there's an increase in chatter. There was credible intelligence from multiple sources, is what Ashcroft said, but then they didn't raise the alert. The other thing you have to think about is, why else would they not have raised the alert? Because it costs a lot of money. If they put all the law enforcement people on, you know, an increased status up to orange from yellow, it is so much more expensive, and they don't want to do it.
Over time.
So, you know,
more guys on the
street. We're all really compromised by this. On the one hand, we're being told, you know, there's credible intelligence for multiple sources of a threat. On the other hand, we're not told anything specific. The alert remains the same. These guys are arguing among themselves. Do you feel safer? I don't.
No, but John Kerry, in the meantime, staked out his own turf, separate from Ridge and the rest of these people, on terrorism. He outlined four principles of national security policy that would guide a Kerry administration. Speaking in Seattle on Thursday, he said one important component is freeing the U.S. from the grip of foreign oil.
To secure our full independence, our full freedom, to be the masters of our own destiny, we must free America from its dangerous dependence on Mideast oil.
John Kerry. Republicans, of course, cried foul about Kerry's speech yesterday, accusing him of hate-filled political attacks. Gee, I thought Bush's...
Hate-filled?
Yeah, hate-filled.
I wish it was more hate-filled.
Is that, you know what I mean?
But the thing about political attacks, of course they're political attacks. These guys are running for president. Of course they're going to politicize the situation because they have to. If you don't politicize things, there's not going to be any issues to speak on.
Well...
Not quite reason-filled. Do we infer from that the Bush administration equates reason with hate?
Any criticism of the Bush administration by John Kerry right now is considered a hate-filled political attack.
Still ahead, the president's Palm Pilot, plus how many American men are behind bars. We'll give you a hint. It's more than 1%. We'll give you the hard numbers right here on Air America Radio. Come back.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You will also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Attention, students, graduates, and parents. You could cut your student loan payments in half with the federal low interest rate programs available from College Loan Corporation. Thousands have already done it, and now you too can cut your federal student loan payments up to 50% or more. Call 1-800-CLC-1979 anytime, 24/7. College Loan Corporation will help you refinance your college loans and lock in federal interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest rates in nearly 40 years. If you are not taking advantage of this program, you could be paying twice as much as everyone else. It's easy to apply. There is no credit check, no hoops to jump through, and in just minutes, you'll be on your way to locking in the lowest rates in decades. Let us make this a reality for you today. Call 1-800-CLC-1979. It's the smartest call you can make. Call College Loan Corporation today at 1-800-CLC-1979. That's 1-800-CLC-1979.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit buildup, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax bush once and for all.
Past the hour. Good morning. It's Mark Maron on Morning's Edition. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio. We just got an email. I'm sticking my head out of the window and saying, have John Kerry and Al Gore become men in the last 4 years or what?
How dare you?
He was all worked up.
Sorry.
I thought and they became silverbacks.
Yeah, and the president and the administration, the GOP, of course, saying like, wow, man. That Gore, he's gone wild. He's gone crazy. Yeah, he's full of passion and righteousness, reacting to a completely, you know, irrational administration who doesn't even care for the number or know the number of people who have died in Iraq. He's getting worked up, as all Americans should, trying to call him wild.
Gorilla.
Oh, my God. You know,
how dare they?
There you go. How dare they? The interesting thing about Gore's speech the other day was his use of the term dishonor. Because for Southerners, dishonor is something very different than it means, I think, to most regular folks.
It is?
Yeah, dishonor was, I mean, the Southerners... and I'm kind of generalizing here, but Southerners kind of have this whole honor, this whole sense of honor, of being honorable people, you know, that whole mint julep style, you know, down south. And for a Southern guy like Gore to use the term dishonor doesn't mean the same as it does when most people use it.
Deeper.
Yeah, it is deeper. It really is.
Yeah, I think that, you know, these guys should get worked up. And I think that what Kerry was talking about last night in his speech was he was really trying to realign, you know, the talk about how to deal with terrorism and take it away from this administration in terms of just by accusing them of failing on the one premise of their entire administration, that they think they are the he's the war president, they are good on terror. And as it turns out, you know, Bush has really been good for terror, you know, and the numbers of that. But Kerry last night, it was saying that, you know, of course, we need to have new alliances with foreign countries, updated military to meet terrorist threats, the use of diplomacy, intelligence, economic power, and the appeal of our values and ideas to keep the country safe, freedom from dependence on oil from the Middle East. You think that's going to happen?
Well, if everybody buys a Toyota Prius, yeah, I think it might.
I think it'll reduce it.
Yeah, it'll reduce it.
Yeah, I mean, it's all great stuff. I'm glad that he said it. It seems very exciting. I'd like to know more. And I hope that he's able to refocus the dialogue around terror into a democratic issue that's got some teeth.
Well, as he moves forward, see, as he begins to articulate this, hopefully people will understand how utterly bankrupt what we have going on now really is. I mean, we have a situation now, Lakhdar Brahimi, President Bush's, he's the UN envoy over in Iraq, is supposed to, as of today, have named some members of the Iraqi cabinet. As far as we know, and we're at now Eastern time about 6:30, which means it's about, 3-4 o'clock over in Iraq, we haven't heard any names.
He's walking around going, please, please. Just,
yeah, right.
Would you please be prime minister? Come on. We'll give you a house. It's got a good paycheck.
Car, yeah. Humvee. Armor.
Now you got the wrong guy. I'm going to wait till this stuff settles down.
Well, this is how desperate they might be to come up with some names. That I was reading this morning that Muqtada al-Sadr might be given a role in the new government.
Oh, they are desperate.
Right. It was with the ceasefire. They've agreed to back off. The U.S. military agreed to back off against the Mahdi army. And the Iraqis and the Americans are trying to agree on what to do about him.
So it's either capture, kill, or anoint.
Well, there's apparently some agreement not to capture him, not to arrest him. That's the deal. In return for his backing off, more insurgencies, he will not be arrested, which creates a kind of a gray area. But the question is what to do with him.
Yeah, but the weird thing is this administration certainly can't judge anybody for appointing criminals to posts. You know what I mean? I mean, Negroponte is going to be the ambassador. We're going to talk to a journalist, Martin Seif, later about Negroponte and his involvement in the Iran-Contra affair. And Elliot Abrams, another borderline criminal. I mean, this administration certainly can't judge the appointment of al-Sadr to anything. I'm sure they'd support it if it worked in their favor. Now, we were talking, we didn't talk yet, but we talked about, we sort of introduced the idea, this story about the jails, that 75%, what is the number on that?
One in 75
men in America are in prison.
Yeah.
And Ashcroft promises to get that number up by the end of next year.
It's not just that one in 75 is in jail. It's the fact that the relative numbers have increased even though crime has gone down.
They're putting their relatives in jail,
inmate,
too?
No, but they did. Well, probably they are relations in jail. But that the inmate population grew. It's now almost 2.1 million people. That's the size of some countries.
Well, when you have, these long sentences for drugs, and when you have inconsistent sentences for drugs, which America does, it takes a very small amount of crack cocaine
to get you high.
Yeah, well, to get you high or to get you locked up,
yeah. Right,
where you have to really have a sack full of actual cocaine in order to get locked up for an equivalent period of time.
Right, or you can be busted on two serious offenses, and then if you're caught even with marijuana, that's your third strike, then you're away in jail. You can actually go away for some totally, what would seem an inconsequential crime, shoplifting or, I don't know,
yeah, that was a big issue. Somebody did get, I think, got caught shoplifting in California, and because it was his third strike, he was supposed to be sentenced to life in prison.
And there's so many people in prison that might not be guilty. That thing gives me the creeps. The idea that somebody could be on death row or be accused of a violent or horrible crime and either executed or kept in jail for life and they're not guilty, could you imagine the hell of that?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have a lot of safeguards in the system to really figure out whether people are guilty or not. They're just now starting to do DNA tests and that kind of stuff. It's amazing.
And they resist the DNA stuff
for years,
as long and as hard as they can. 68% of all prison and jail inmates were members of racial and ethnic minorities.
Yeah.
12% of all black men in their 20s were in jails or prison. 3.7% of Hispanic men, 1.6% of 1.6% of white men, all in their 20s.
No racial profiling, though.
No.
But that's why the DNA stuff is important, because many of those people do not have access to good lawyers.
Yeah.
And if they were white and wealthy, they would not be in jail.
Very true.
That's probably true. We will be back. Oh, no. You know what? Go ahead, Mark.
Sure you want me to do
that? It's Friday, man.
Coming up, the presidential palm pilot of the liberal agenda, plus the deconstruction of John Negroponte when we come back here on Air America Radio.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband, Jack, on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. It appears President George W. Bush is somewhat red-faced this morning about that news conference U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft and FBI Chief Robert Mueller held over a purported surge in terrorist threats aimed at Americans this week. At issue, statements made earlier that day by Department of Homeland Security Chief Tom Ridge that the security threat was no different than it was the day before and no cause for alarm. New poll says that if Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry were to pick Republican Arizona Senator John McCain as his running mate, it would be a slam-dunk victory for the Dems, beating Bush Cheney by 14 points. John Kerry kicked off his latest campaign swing in Seattle, focusing in on Bush's plan for combating terrorism and settling conditions in Iraq, and Israel's cabinet votes on Sunday on a scaled-back version of Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's Gaza pullout plan that removes only three settlements. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Okay, keep your eyes on the road. Don't look around. Just listen. It's me, the new Ford Focus. I see what you're driving there, and I gotta tell you, you deserve better. You deserve more power. I'm talking the kind of power that throws you back in your seat. You deserve better handling, like the European-inspired suspension that sticks to the road like duct tape. That's what I'm talking about. So, how do you get everything you deserve? Drive me, the new Ford Focus.
More power, enhanced European suspension, Consumer Guide's Best Buy 4 years in a row. The new Ford Focus. It begs to be driven.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the way.
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
The Majority Report.
Danny, you're going to quickly realize that you're going to have to come around to our way of thinking here. You're not allowed to leave the studio.
Exactly.
All right.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
Admit it. You love John Eddie. I don't know why.
He indeed does have the capacity to shoot straight.
He also has a last name, which is the same as the first name. You know, Edward John. I like last names to be last names. Garofalo, that's a last name.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Good morning. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Elcott on Air America Radio. Coming up, Martin Seif. We're going to talk to him about John Negroponte. I have a mild obsession with John Negroponte and his dark past. We'll get to the bottom of it because he's going to be the new ambassador.
It's good because the whole Negroponte, dark bridge, that is in Spanish. Dark bridge, isn't that?
Is that what it's pronounced? Is he from Greek background?
It's kind of a sort of messed up version of Negroponte. Well, it's sort of like dark bridge. Yeah.
Right now, we just got the email from my buddy who hacked into the presidential Palm Pilot.
Does he ever take a day off?
No, the dude's always there, man. You know, and they don't even know he's there. That's why they hired him. You know what I mean? He does a little of the cleaning up crew, maintenance, whatever's necessary. I can't talk too much about him because I'll get him in trouble. All right, here's the president's schedule for today. 8 a.m., wake up. Pardon Ramon. Going to be a long weekend. Going to need the stuff from back in the day. Code name, Patriot Powder. 9:30 a.m., put on Clinton disguise. Meet Ramon in Public Park. Score the stuff from back in the day. 11:25 a.m., meet Prime Minister of Denmark. Yes, you have to. 11:30 a.m., take bathroom break. God, he's boring. Good thing I scored some Patriot Powder. 11:35 a.m., wide awake. I love Denmark. Hell, I love all South America. 12:30 p.m., 12:30 p.m., take Prime Minister of Denmark on White House tour. Lincoln Benjamin there, Rose Garden there, Painting of Kennedy there. Ding, ding, ding. Happy now. Bye. 1 p.m., review schedule for Memorial Day. Plan visit to Tomb of the Unknown campaign contributor. 3 p.m., order CIA heckling squad to disrupt whatever snotty veteran sing Kerry has planned. 4 p.m., disco nap. Reschedule a briefing about terrorist threats. 6 p.m., plan annual Memorial Day barbecue for National Guardsmen who didn't serve. Note, have fireworks outside this year. 9 p.m., have Secret Service score two more units of Patriot Powder from Ramon, then have him rearrested. Preemptive rearresting.
Too many burned curtains last year with the fireworks indoors?
Yeah, that would probably be it.
I just noticed something.
Yes, sir?
There's no lights out.
No lights out.
Just stays up.
There's no sleeping this weekend for the press.
All that Patriot Powder.
The horrors of Abu Ghraib may not be the last of it. As our next guest explains, a notorious Central America aid team has been reassembled to oversee the pacification and supposed transfer of sovereignty in Iraq. Bing, bing. Where's that? Wait, I have I've got to find where these buttons are. The person who's set to become, most notably John Negroponte, the person who was set to become the Bush administration's viceroy as U.S. ambassador to Iraq after June 30th, joining us now to give us the inside scoop on who Negroponte really is, UPI's chief political correspondent and our salon guest of the day, Martin Seif. Martin, how are you?
Thank you very much. Very well, Mark.
Give us a lowdown on Negroponte. Dark, weird, dirty guy, right?
Well, your term, not mine. I mean, he has a long and serious record in foreign policy making, but his Central America background in the 1980s, he didn't do bad things himself, but he was the enabler for a lot of people for who did. He was U.S. ambassador to Honduras in the first Reagan administration from 1981 to 85. And it is a matter of record that he turned the other way and saw no evil and heard no evil when a great deal of evil was being done on his watch by the Honduran government.
And him along with Elliot Abrams as well, right?
That's absolutely right. Elliot Abrams was at the State Department in those days, basically giving direction for Central American policy to arm and enable the Contras to roll back the Sandinista communists in Nicaragua. But it wasn't the rolling back of the communists that was the problem. It was what the Contras and our allies in Guatemala, El Salvador, and, of course, Honduras itself were doing to their own people at that time.
So what's Negroponte going to be doing now?
Well, a good question, because the original game plan of the neoconservative civilian echelon led by Donald Rumsfeld at the Pentagon was quite clear. As the whole world now knows, they wanted Ahmed Chalabi to be prime minister of Iraq starting on June 30th. And there is a very key text on how Chalabi was going to do. Chalabi said it himself. There's no controversial about this. And people should look up, and it's good business for the Washington Post, to buy from their archive system the article that Ahmed Chalabi published in the Outlook section of the Sunday edition of the Post on August the 31st last year, August the 31st, 2003, in which he spells out very clearly that there's only one way to restore the blessings of democracy and stability and order to Iraq, and that's to arrest thousands or tens of thousands of people, and of course his Iraqi National Congress will decide who needs to be arrested.
Martin Seif, given that we know that John Negroponte knew about human rights violations and yet continued to collaborate with the Honduran military while lying to Congress, why do we have someone like Senator Joe Biden, who's the senior Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, sort of welcoming him as the ambassador to Iraq?
Well, I think people on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, first of all, were not looking at the Latin America record. They were looking at what they were supposed to look at, which was the United Nations record over the past year. And the administration has certainly been paying lip service to working with the United Nations. But as many analysts pointed out, the president's speech this week, pointing out the five steps to be taken in Iraq, was extremely vague on key issues of how much sovereignty is actually going to go to the Iraqi people. The president says full sovereignty, but he doesn't spell it out. Our troops are staying there. Are our troops going to be under our control? Presumably they are. But in that case, the Iraqis don't have sovereignty in their own country. If they have 135,000 of our own forces there. Who calls the shots in Iraq? Who is continuing to call the shots in Iraq? How long are our boys going and girls going to be bogged down there and being killed by the hundreds, by these guerrillas? Is there a withdrawal strategy? The president certainly did not spell one out. The Pentagon, honorable and highly efficient, military arm at the Pentagon, planners who are told by the civilian echelon what to do, are planning for 135,000 U.S. troops minimum, probably more, to be in Iraq through 2006 at the very minimum, and there is no detailed plans for full-scale withdrawal after that.
Mark, just
one thing, and that is I think you'll find that after this election, perhaps not if John Kerry wins, but certainly if the president is reelected, all of a sudden a lot more troops than are needed in Iraq now are going to be sent there.
Martin Sieve, real quickly, how did John Negroponte end up being Colin Powell's guy?
Well, he was originally Henry Kissinger's guy, and then he was Elliot Abrams' guy. And I don't think Colin Powell wants him to be his guy. He's really Elliot Abrams' guy, and he's really Donald Rumsfeld's guy. That's your answer.
Martin Sieve, thank you very much for joining us. You can read Martin's column in Salon.com today about John Negroponte. We want to hear from you. We got the liberal agenda coming up, of course, but we want to take your calls on if you were to bring charges against anyone in the administration right now, what would those charges be? 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270, sedition@airamericaradio.com. Get in touch with us. We'll put you on the line right now, Air America Radio.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experienced professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GEMHR.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Past the hour. We're taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We want to know what charges you would bring against what person in this administration. Sedition at airamericaradio.com. A little point of interest here about terror and terrorism. You know, President Bush announced his intention to nominate Ambassador, future Ambassador Negroponte to Iraq on April 19th, 2004. At 1:51 p.m. April 19th, Honduran military spokesman Colonel Rafael Morano said that day that the country's forces would remain in Iraq under Polish command. That was that morning. And then after the announcement of Negroponte being assigned the post of ambassador, Honduran President Ricardo Maduro said in his speech on national television and radio that the troops would be pulled out. So the type of terror that they were afraid of, they weren't being bullied by the terrorists that Bush speaks of, but by the terrorists that once lived in their country and was overseeing.
Coincidence. Pure coincidence.
On your new fancy machine there, do you have a da-da-da-da kind of button? Just to kind of draw attention. Da-da-da-da. Oh, yeah, great.
All right,
good.
Except for Perry Mason.
Curtis in Brooklyn.
Oh, that's great.
Join the fun, Curtis. Is Curtis, are you there?
Nope, Curtis is not there.
I guess the noise kind of alien.
Yeah,
Lewis in Newark. Lewis? Lewis, hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi, hi. What's up?
Hi. First and foremost, I think Donald Rumsfeld needs to be charged with, number one, a falsification of evidence for taking us into war, and the most serious charge I think should be leveled against him is for not adequately supporting and giving our troops the equipment that they need. I don't know how we could be sending Humvees over there that are not heavily armed to repel bullets and also to repel some of the linemen that our people are getting blown up for.
That's absolutely true, and there's also evidence that they're not being completely cared for properly when they come back as far as health coverage is concerned. We talked about
counseling.
That. The flak jackets that are being sent by some of the police departments.
Over 1,000 in New Jersey
to
alone.
To insulate the military Humvees that aren't prepared to take that type of fire. 866-303-AAR0 is the number. 866-303-2270. Who should we bring charges against in this administration? Omar in Westchester, good morning. How are you? Nice to have you on the show again. What's going on?
Good morning, everybody. Mark, and Sue. What's going on this morning?
I'm all right.
Baby, I'm starting from the very top. Going to President Bush, obstruction of justice, sleeping with the enemy.
Yeah.
I'm going for everything because they all lied. They're all in concert. If I got five guys in my vehicle right now and I do something wrong and I get pulled over, everybody is going down. That's how we do it. And it should be no different. They're the leaders of the free world. They are getting it. If I could do it right now, I swear to God, I would. I'm driving right now on 202. I just got on a Taconic. And if I can drive to D.C. right now, I'd do it if I could, but I can't, so I won't.
Are you sure? Are you sure you don't want to just take the day off and go down there?
I swear to God, if I had a crew, I'd do it.
All right, man. Thanks for calling.
Omar's been hanging out with the same passion coach as Al Gore. I have a good email here from someone, from Jason, who says, I charge George W. Bush with nation jacking, also known as Grand Theft Nation. Good one. Common sense in 2004, he
That's
says.
A good one. Charlie in Virginia, how are you, man?
Hey, Mark, how are you all doing?
Pretty good, right. Pretty good.
Nice to hear from you. I sort of want to follow up Delmar and the emailer in charge of the president.
Absolutely. Let's take him down.
Yeah, for terminal dullness and lack of affect.
You're going easy, man. You're going easy.
Well, I just think, in the bully pulpit, he's supposed to persuade us, and it's been true since he was campaigning. Watching him speak is like watching someone watch a tennis match in slow motion.
It's hard to persuade people when he's trying to remember what he's supposed to say.
Yeah, or like watching an oscillating fan. It goes to the left, pause, two, three, to the middle, to the right, two, three, to the middle, pause, two, three, to the left. It's like someone has given him these words to say,
and
he's going to speak them.
And you ever see him, he's just trying to avoid panic.
Yeah, it's like, I think they're going to go for this.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
there's a good phrase. I think that worked.
Yeah, but you know what, Charlie? That seems to be what endears him to half the population. This whole slipshod, kind of thing. People seem to go for it.
Yeah, it's like, they would trust him less if he was more persuasive.
Right, but exactly. Thanks for calling, Charlie.
Sure enough.
I appreciate it. It's so true that the one thing that endears him to people is that, he's completely incapable of leading almost.
The say-duh kid.
Here we go.
Syllables. It's a mistrust of multisyllabic words.
Maybe, yeah. That's definitely got something to do with it, but there's a simplicity that it seems to represent to people. Marcia, how are you, Marcia? Quickly, what do you got?
I don't know about charges, legal charges or anything, but I think actually saying the names of all of these people that the public doesn't know about, like Abrams and Liddy and
Negroponte, right?
Negroponte, yeah. When people, they've always been in the shadows and doing all the dirty work. I think maybe talking about it would make it, better for the public to understand, and then they can see how things work.
We're going to talk about some of that when we come back. Thanks for bringing that up, because we do have a little list, and we'll do that for you, Marcia. Thanks for calling. Wow. Okay. So we will do that. We will definitely bring the
yellow
the
sheets
out. Yeah. The slander sheets, the yellow sheets, when we come back, along with many other things. We've got the liberal agenda coming up and more fun and tragedy here on Air America Radio.
Political opponents call the late Senator Paul Wellstone and his progressive ideals embarrassingly liberal. According to Wellstone, the future will not belong to those who are cynical. The future will belong to those who have passion and are willing to work hard to make our country better. Embarrassing? No way. Inspiring? Yes. Learn how to live out Wellstone's call to action in his book, The Conscience of a Liberal, Reclaiming the Compassionate Agenda. And don't miss the remarkable collection of Wellstone photographs featured in Terry Guidison's book, 12 Years and 13 Days, Remembering Paul and Sheila Wellstone. You can find these University of Minnesota Press publications at better bookstores everywhere, or visit our website at www.upress.umn.edu. Fight for the future of America.
Are you a shift worker or work nights? Do you have complaints of excessive sleepiness on the job, including your commute to and from work? If so, you may have evidence of chronic shift work sleep disorder, a medical condition with excessive sleepiness associated with working nights. Clinilabs Incorporated is conducting a research trial of an investigational medication for excessive sleepiness associated with chronic shift work sleep disorder. If you have complaints of excessive sleepiness and are working a late or overnight shift and are 18 to 65 years of age, you may qualify to participate. Daytime and overnight visits are required, and compensation for time and travel will be provided. Qualified participants will receive trial-related medication and care at no cost. Call Clinilabs Incorporated now at 212-994-4578 to see if you qualify. That's Clinilabs Incorporated at 212-994-4578. 212-994-4578.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Good morning. It's Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. I am Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. I want to say, Chris Lopresto, my board operator, I love you. I mimic you only
in that
love.
Manly way.
I come from love. I come with love. He doesn't say that to me, though, Chris. He just mimics me just point blank.
Sue, I try, man. Yeah, I spend all my time. Okay. How can I love Sue Ellicott tomorrow? Is there any way? You know what? God gives
me
nothing.
I'll give you a list, okay?
God gives me nothing.
Wait, yeah, well, don't ask him. He knows you don't believe in him.
All right. You want to give me a list? You give me a list.
Okay.
You give me a list.
I've got a three-day weekend. It'll be massive on Tuesday.
Uh-oh.
Okay. You give me a
list. Two long plane rides. I think I'll buy a new book.
Oh, good, good, good. I would look forward to that.
The gauntlet is down.
That'd be funny because on Wednesday I come in and it's just you guys. I read the book.
Right.
So on Marcia's request, I'd like to read off some of these criminals. Maybe we can each read one. They're having fun.
Yeah.
You know, that the criminals within the administration who were in this administration or were recently, you know, let go from the administration.
Do you have the Dragnet theme in that machine? We need the Dragnet.
No, I don't. I don't. But, like, John Poindexter was head of the Information Awareness Office, which was eliminated, but he was Reagan's national security advisor, and he was found guilty of conspiracy, obstruction of justice, and destruction of evidence in the Iran-Contra affair. What do you got, Mark?
I've got Elliot Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
And Elliot Abrams has got a yellow sheet that would do the average New York City criminal proud. He was, of course, director of the National Security Council's Office for Democracy, Human Rights, and International Relations, pled guilty to withholding evidence from Congress regarding his role in Iran-Contra, and was active in covering up some of the worst atrocities by U.S.-sponsored Contras, including rape, torture, and killing of unarmed civilians, I believe.
And nuns.
Killing of nuns. We have to double-check about whether or not he was pardoned, I believe, Abrams.
Well, I would think he must be. He's working over there. He's back in the administration. He's one of the big neocon dudes in charge of the big stuff.
Well, you know, yeah, but most people who get pardons, you know, they end up having to, you know, bag groceries someplace. They don't get back into government.
Yeah, well, actually, John Poindexter, he was pardoned. He was found guilty of conspiracy and obstruction of justice in the Iran-Contra affair, but he's one of the few big names in Iran-Contra who's not actually serving in this administration.
He was, right?
For a minute.
He isn't right now, but, you know, that doesn't mean that he's not kind of part of the discussions that go on about what to do about policy.
Dick Cheney, of course. Not as heinous a criminal, but in his criminal record, but clearly in his recent activities, completely heinous, but was convicted of drunk driving twice, you know, in the early 60s.
Yeah.
He was 21 and 22 years old.
So we have to cut him a little bit of slack for that.
Yeah, I hate to cut him any slack.
I mean, you can bust him on anything recently.
Al Gore won't.
How dare they?
Cut him any slack at all.
Is that before or after he dodged the draft?
Yeah, well, that was the deferments. Deferments, remember? And then he got his wife pregnant because he wanted to get it. We speculated, and Carlson, or Tucker Carlson would say, but that's ridiculous.
Yeah. How dare I?
And how about Otto Reich?
Ah, Assistant Secretary of State for Western Hemisphere Affairs. He was appointed during a recess to sidestep the Senate confirmation hearing process, and he covertly leaked intelligence to journalists to trump up a Nicaraguan, quote, threat. And he helped terrorist Orlando Bosch gain entry into the U.S. after being imprisoned in Venezuela for bombing a Cuban airliner, killing its 73 passengers.
And how about our president? We got more on that.
Yeah.
We got more to
come.
We got the yellow sheet on the prez coming up. Where is my liberal agenda? It was just here.
I just had it.
Hey, don't make Barbara have to come over here and slap you, okay?
You know what? I don't have the liberal agenda. If the fax machine didn't send it out.
Oh.
It's gone. My liberal agenda is gone.
Uh-oh.
This is bad.
Look closely.
Here it comes.
Oh, I thought Sue might have stolen it.
I got it.
Hey.
Here we go.
bagels.
Here, get your notebooks. I'm sorry I'm a little late. Host annual Barbstock Memorial Day vegan barbecue to honor all those who avoided the Vietnam War. Demand hook and eye patch sensitivity training for soldiers interrogating radical Muslim cleric Abu Hamza. Protest Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban for the cruelty to mythical beasts that occurred during the filming of it. Demand Al-Qaeda truck bombs meet pre-existing EPA clean air standards. And protest day after tomorrow for sugarcoating the threat of global warming. That's that.
Oh,
we
wow.
got it out before we had to go.
That was fast.
Time to update the facts, I think.
Uh-oh. Still to come on Morning's Edition, the Presidential Daily Briefing, Mark Maron's Dream Diary. Plus, there's a new movement by some Christians to secede from the U.S. Find out more here on Air America Radio.
Yesterday, a woman asked me if Beaujolais goes with pork tenderloin. Excuse me, what? Like I can stop and think about pairing wine with food while I've got a house to sell.
Coldwell Bank or Residential Brokerage knows your buyer could be anywhere. That's why we're everywhere. So relax. Our global network will market your home worldwide. Coldwell Bank or Residential Brokerage. Visit coldwellbankermoves.com. Coldwell Bank or Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by Energy Incorporated.
LendingTree.com presents 2 steps for controlling the home buying process. Step 1. Go to LendingTree.com and get up to 4 great mortgage offers within hours. Step 2. Stay at LendingTree.com and get up to 4 leading real estate agents within hours. So, to choose the mortgage and agent that's right for you, call 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com. See website for details and state license disclosures. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Reports this morning say that President Bush has upset his administration members appear miles apart on the issue of terrorist threats against Americans in the United States this summer. Both U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft and FBI Director Robert Mueller held a news conference on Wednesday afternoon of this week to outline the latest developments in terrorist chatter. While they appeared on the same page with reports being new and credible, Bush was not pleased by the appearance that Department of Homeland Security Chief Tom Ridge was downplaying reports as he combed the news show talk show network in that particular morning. Ridge was in New York last night where he attempted to clarify some of the confusion by saying he had been in contact with Ashcroft and Mueller about the threat information. A new poll this morning on the pulse of the American voters shows that if Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry were to pick Arizona Republican Senator John McCain as his running mate, it would be a cakewalk for the Democrats. Poll says they would beat Bush Cheney by 14 percentage points. McCain, a longtime Republican senator, says he has no interest in joining the Democrats. Both McCain and Kerry are Vietnam War heroes and share a somewhat similar sentiment about how the U.S. occupation of Iraq should be handled. It seems to be happening again. President Bush has been campaigning across the country, saying he will do more in a second term to boost funding to health care and other domestic programs. For instance, the president was trying to win over voters in Tennessee yesterday at Vanderbilt University Children's Hospital when he said he would boost health care. But a report from Washington this morning says the Bush administration has sent out a memo in preparation for a second term to cut funding for federal education, domestic security, veterans programs, and those in health care. Administration's budget plan is said to be preliminary and reflects largely what he would do in a second term. Nation's one-time symbol of corporate excess, Enron Corporation, says it has enough votes from its creditors to confirm a reorganization plan. The energy giant says 104 creditors have voted in favor of the plan, granting certification. 7 rejected the plan. A bankruptcy judge will make the final approval of the company's Chapter 11 bankruptcy plan soon. Rescue efforts continue in the Dominican Republic and Haiti, where severe flooding has claimed the lives of well over 2,000 in the last 72 hours. Authorities in the Dominican Republic have sprayed disinfectant from aircraft to prevent the spread of disease spawned by decomposing bodies. Overnight floods in the town of Jimene have claimed the lives of men, women, and children. Many of the victims were washed into a nearby lake full of crocodiles, compounding the problem or a series of mudslides triggered by torrential rains in both countries. And three veteran NBC journalists and an Iraqi freelancer have been released after they were captured 3 days ago in the city of Fallujah. TV Network says local Iraqi leaders helped mediate what it calls armed Iraqis who let the reporters go after their identities as working journalists became clear. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
This invitation may change the way you look at life if you are dependent on glasses or contact lenses to see at a distance or for reading. Customized laser vision treatments that correct the unique imperfections in your vision 25 times more accurately than other methods are now available at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Weill Cornell Medical Center. Dr. Sandra Belmont, director of the cornea service at Cornell Medical College, provides the most advanced and precise FDA-approved wave scan-driven corrections to safely improve eyesight for people with problems reading and seeing at a distance, and help throw away your glasses and contact lenses. To see what you've been missing and learn more about wave scan-driven and no-touch laser vision procedures, call Dr. Belmont at 212-746-2020. That's 212-746-2020. Or visit us at www.cornelllaservision.com.
All right. Everybody knows that safety belts save lives, blah, blah, blah. We've been hearing that for years. I'm just letting you know that your safety belt can save you a whole lot of hassle, too. Because from coast to coast, cops are cracking down. They've got this enforcement effort, click it or ticket. Pretty simple. You buckle up or you get a ticket. Consider this a friendly warning, because guess what? Cops won't be giving warnings. Remember, click it or ticket.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinamone, and since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter. But in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
The Air America phones are ringing off the hook.
Listen, Bush came down here. We want to send him back.
Everyone's calling Air America Radio.
I've never heard people really truly own up to the fact that we do have an electoral college, and that is why George Bush won the election.
866-303-AAR0. Call and let it rip.
I don't have any problem with him disagreeing with Bush and thinking he's wrong. I think all the Democrats are wrong.
Air America Radio. We're listening.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today is Friday before a long weekend. Before he's tempted to crack open a cold one on Memorial Day at the Memorial Day Hoedown, we're going to take George W. Recovery Corner, plus my dream diary, and we'll take a call from William from Chappaqua. That's coming up. I'm coming unglued here, man. My liberal agenda didn't pan out right. You know when you get all your ducks in a row and then one of them just starts taking a dump and running away? You know what I'm saying? It kind of throws you into a little chaos. But now I'm all awake. I got the chaos buzz going. I was flailing around looking for my liberal agenda because the fax machine wasn't spitting it out. Now I'm actually going to commit to that little fabrication of reality. Like, yeah, the fax machine's broken. That's why I didn't get my liberal agenda. Just in case there are people out there thinking like, oh, there's the fax from the Barbra Streisand house. You know what? If you're really thinking that, you might want to stay tuned because it's only going to get better. Things are going to come in from the White House. We're thinking maybe President Bush might drop by because he's angry. Sometimes he comes by the studio just to knock on the window and say, I'm watching you. He lip syncs it. But actually, President Clinton does call us occasionally. I think he'll be calling us later. There's some big things going on. Got an email, a nice email. This is before the chaos entered the studio. I discovered you guys over a month ago here in Portland, and I love you guys. Oh, what does that deserve?
We should never let him have that machine.
I listen to you guys every single morning, at least the last 2 hours of it, because that is when I start my work with my headphones on. That's like that also.
He's a DJ.
Either he's a DJ or he works at a computer, but it sounds like he does some work before that. Like, yeah. I do the initial work, then I have to put the phones on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm completely curious now what he's doing, you know?
Giving Maren that machine is like giving a 16-year-old Maren the keys to the family car. No, I don't think so, Mark. Oh, it's steady.
How dare they! It's ridiculous. It's like Radio 101, you know what I mean? But I find it enjoyable. It's new to me because I'm new to radio, and this machine is making me happy.
All right.
You understand what I'm saying? Hello? Hello? Anyways, in case, I'm always looking forward to every morning to the humor, the sarcasm, and the politics, which I can totally agree on. Thanks, you guys. That's a very nice email. Now let's get to the pain.
Wait a minute. Are you crushing up things again? Are you crushing up papers?
Are you saying that I might have thrown away my liberal agenda because I have this weird habit to just crumple things into
you
a wad?
You said you looked at it, right?
I did.
Now it's gone, right?
It's coming up again.
Oh,
we're
going to
do it two more times because it's so damn funny.
There you go. Speaking of so damn funny,
yeah.
People are starting to wonder whether John Ashcroft, certainly a humorless-looking man.
Hilarious, man. Hilarious.
But he is coming under fire this morning.
Good.
And he's coming under fire about that terror threat news conference he had the other day with Robert Mueller, who, of course, is the director of the FBI. And it looks like there is now a turf battle between Ashcroft and the Justice Department on one side and Tom Ridge, head of the Homeland Security Department, on the other side.
On the other side, at the child's table.
Yeah. Yep. So sit over there and wait till we call you.
Wait till the men who have real jobs need your assistance.
See, the bottom line here is that it was Ridge's job to issue a terror threat alert. That's what he's supposed to do. That's under the law and under Bush administration guidelines. So what does Ashcroft do? Ignore both and hold his own news conference.
Yeah, Tom Ridge runs to the president. I thought I was the one who got to say when things got bad.
Yep. Well, he was telling people, go out and live your lives.
Don't worry
about a thing. Enjoy yourself. Yeah.
But like Sue was saying earlier, a lot of this stuff, like, because we were speculating yesterday about the timing of this announcement and also, you know, speculating as to why they might not raise a terror alert. And it comes down to, what were you talking about?
Well, it costs a lot of money to raise a terror alert.
On a local...
From orange to yellow to orange, because you've got to put all these law enforcement people out and pay them overtime and get, you know, troops and people mobilized.
I imagine the whole country's local law enforcement has to, you know, put in overtime hours. They have to add extra guys. I wonder if anyone knows that. If you're out there and you're on an email as far as sedition at airamericaradio.com, if you know what it really entails for a local police department to adhere to a orange terrorist alert, I'd be curious.
We can find that out from the NYPD here. It costs a lot of money here. It costs several million dollars
a week,
every time
a day,
they go up.
A month?
A day.
Oh, my God.
A day. Now, I'm going to double-check to make sure, but I'm sure it is several million dollars a day because I saw the figure once.
So there's a real controversy in terms of, not controversy, but a lot of people assume that they put the terror alert just to protect their own asses. So if something does happen, they're covered. They warned us. And if it doesn't happen, so what? We're covered.
If it doesn't happen, now, see, we thwarted terrorism.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
So that it's a win-win situation for them, except now people are, A, questioning whether or not there was sufficient evidence to warrant a terror alert. There are intelligence people talking to Newsweek saying, gee, there wasn't really that surge in chatter that Ashcroft mentioned at his news conference the other day. That's a little problematic. And, of course, we've also got – who is this guy, Jim Gibbons? Have you heard of him as a Republican congressman? From Nevada. He's one of these Al-Qaeda's going to disrupt the elections thing.
And he's the guy who gave the press conference at the MGM Grand.
Yeah. Right. During a gaming convention.
Implying that the terrorists, you know, not just the democracy of America, might interrupt the election.
You know what it is? It's the whole tone of self-congratulation that John Ashcroft had in that press conference.
Shaking hands.
And in the same press conference, he announced that the Americans had successfully made the British agree to extradite a very fiery Muslim cleric who'd called for, you know, a war against Westerners, Abu Hamza.
Abu Hamza, nicknamed the pirate.
Right, yeah. Except that it's people are very suspicious of the timings and a little bit too convenient and very, very political. And also, it might not happen because they talk about the death penalty. Britain, the law prevents anybody being extradited if they would need to face the death penalty. Britain is very anti-death penalty. So, you know, now they have to get a promise from Ashcroft that they won't pursue the most extreme punishment.
And yeah, they're going to buy that, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
He's a lawyer. I promise.
Stay tuned. This guy may never leave Britain now.
Bush loves the death penalty. Loves it.
Yep. Meanwhile, in Iraq, where things are not going much better than they are here on the home front.
Who wants to be prime minister? Anybody?
Yeah, right?
I get to volunteer.
Well, first of all, the United States agrees to a deal, supposedly, with Muqtada al-Sadr, the guy they said they were either going to kill or capture. Yet there are two explosions that have rocked Kufa, which is one of the cities, I believe, in southern Iraq that al-Sadr holds sway in. There were two explosions there. There was a member of the Iraqi Governing Council ambushed in a convoy. His son was killed. And, of course, we're still waiting for Lakhdar Brahimi to name someone, anyone, to the new Iraqi government. And remember, this is what George Bush was saying about that situation just the other day.
The United Nations Special Envoy Lakhdar Brahimi is now consulting with a broad spectrum of Iraqis to determine the composition of this interim government. The special envoy intends to put forward the names of interim government officials this week.
That was Lakhdar Brahimi. No, I was just
that
wondering
was
if
George
you had...
Bush.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was George Bush talking about Lakhdar Brahimi.
He's had
a vapor moment, vapor lock.
Well, here's it. 33 days and counting to the turnover. It's not a turnover. It is a
handover.
Transfer.
Someone wrote me an email. Quit calling it a turnover. That's a pastry, dummy. So in the next 33 days, the Bush administration must come up with a plan for Iraqi governance, name the names of those who will be taking charge, secure new UN Security Council resolution, develop agreement for U.S. military presence, disarm militias, arrest Muqtada al-Sadr, but that's a change. He's going to give him a job instead.
Yeah.
Train Iraqi defense forces, train Iraqi police forces, find evidence of the weapons of mass destruction, like that's going to happen, create jobs, which is happening. Kind of. Hand Saddam Hussein over to officials, over to the Iraqi authorities. Finalize plans for January 2005 election. Establish U.S. embassy, which he's getting on. But, like, it ain't going to happen, dude.
I know it's not going to happen.
And they missed the first one. The first one. Come up with the plan for Iraqi governance. They said we're going to do it in a week, right?
All those things
we knew were on the agenda anyway. The fact he made gave a speech, public speech, and listed those things as if these were new is a joke. Those were all things that they've known they've had to do for absolutely months.
When did they? Oh, yeah. This is like, this is not going to happen. And sovereignty, what does that really mean if there's going to be 135 troops there? 135,000 troops that aren't going to leave, and Negroponte is going to be overseeing the whole thing.
You hit sovereignty on the first shot.
Sovereignty, yeah, I got sovereignty. I'm good.
Probably had that running in his sleep. Anyway, I don't know if Bush has a plan. John Kerry has a 4-point plan on national security. He talked about it in Seattle. That was the first stop on his national security tour. He criticized President Bush for putting a happy face on that deteriorating situation in Iraq.
Over the last year, we've heard from the president that our policy should be to simply stay the course. Well, one thing I learned in the Navy is that when the course you're on is headed for the shoals, it's pretty smart to shift the rudder.
Now, the
aggression will not stand, man.
Okay, there you go. The Iraqi death toll has reached 800. There were 3 Marines killed on Wednesday. And I don't know how symbolic that 800 number is, but there is a point at which the tolerance of the American public is just going to go, is just going to snap.
I hope you're right. Did you say the Iraqi death toll?
I don't know how many.
It is the Iraqi death toll hit 800. We don't have this.
No, the death toll of American soldiers in Iraq.
Riley said
Iraqi.
American
deaths in Iraq.
I think it will start to, people will start to notice. I don't know if you guys saw this week that there's a memorial, sort of an impromptu anti-war memorial that's taking place in Washington with pairs of boots, military boots with tags on them to represent every member of the U.S. military who has died in service in Iraq.
And that's what's staying the course.
Up to 800 pairs of boots. If you see pictures of that or if you walk past it, it's It's really moving in a way those American cemeteries with the identical gravestones really bring home to you.
It's like just thinking about it is making me sort of sad.
Yeah.
But this is what staying the course has got us. I mean, this idea that you just have to be stubborn in the face of
reality,
creating chaos,
yeah.
and it's unbelievable. We will be back with a lot more fun and sadness and a well balance of the two here on Air America Radio.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit buildup, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax bush once and for all.
If you mess up one more thing, you're fired. That's what my boss just told me. Guess I can't blame him, though. I've been forgetting more and more things all the time. Small things and sometimes big things. Yesterday, I forgot a meeting. Today, I forgot our biggest client. I might as well forget my paycheck.
If your poor memory is putting your job at risk, you need to call now for a free CD on the most remarkable memory improvement program available. The Memory Optimizer shows you how easy it is to dramatically improve your memory now and protect it for the future without drugs or dietary supplements. You'll be amazed at how much more easily you remember names, dates, facts, figures, whatever you need to remember. Before you do another thing, call 1-800-900-8182 for your free Memory Optimizer CD. You'll discover how easy it is for you to improve and protect your memory in all areas of your life. Call now, 1-800-900-8182. That's 1-800-900-8182.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
weekend. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
It's 21 past the hour. I am Mark Maron. This is Morning's Edition. I'm here with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley.
Morning.
This is Air America Radio. It's a little chaotic in here today. There was a small twister here in the studio.
Only at your end of the table.
Yeah, there was a small twister here, probably because of the bad things I said to the producer of The Day After Tomorrow. He's manifesting.
He's coming back.
I think that they created some weird weather-bending machine to promote that movie. That's why there are all these twisters all over the country and fires and everything. It's all part of the promotion.
There's an ice flow heading toward your mic right now.
Yeah. Right now it is time for the much-revered, much-despised Dream Diary. This is I went to my therapist and dumped all of them on him yesterday, so now it's a whole new batch. This is last night. Let me see if I can make out my scribble. I'm waist deep in a river somewhere down south. I'm wearing a white robe, which is not really my best color. I'm surrounded by 50 people also wearing robes and waiting and singing. Their faces were all gnarled and mutated in some weird way. The preacher is standing in the water in a red robe, and it's Al Gore, and he's all worked up. Sin ought to resign. Evil ought to resign. Satan ought to resign. Yes, Lord, says the crowd, testify. Today, our brother Mark will shed the arrogance, the willfulness, the bungling, the dishonor, and yes, friends, the disgrace of the Bush administration, and be born again a free citizen of the United States of America. It's amazing what I can remember from my dreams, isn't it? And just as I was thinking, God, he's really good, Al Gore dunks me in the water and holds me under for a whole week. I turn purple, a catfish makes love to me, my life passes before my eyes. Hey, that's me on the spelling bee. Hey, why won't you go to the prom with me? Is it someone else? I like cake, Mommy. Then I grow gills and I'm resigned to living underwater. Just then, Reverend Al pulls me up and out, and I'm gasping for air. I'm drenched, and I've got June bugs between my teeth, but I definitely feel born again. Everyone claps and sings, even me. My singing is better than it ever has been, I remember. Then Jesus comes by and says, hey, Mark, you're a Jew. What are you doing? I say, he's a really good speaker, Jesus. He talked me into it. Why wasn't Al Gore this good 4 years ago? Jesus just shrugs and goes back to fishing. I woke up, and my bed was filled with the milk of human kindness. These are prose poems. These are the way the dreams come out. And I hope you enjoyed that, except for the one guy that's like, that's it. I'm done with this.
I don't think they being kissed by a catfish sounds all that pleasant.
I think we actually had...
We had full communication, didn't
we? We had full communication.
That sounds even worse.
Because, you know, those fish, they got those mouths,
great big
you
heads.
Know?
Is that what they're calling it these days, full communication?
Yeah, I know. Who knows what we're allowed to say?
Well, hey, you know.
Well, I kind of like full communication.
Yeah.
What'd you do this weekend? I fully communicated with my wife.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
So, okay. Marin, are you ready to go?
Yeah, let's go.
Ready to go?
To the new country?
To the new country of South Carolina. You know, they're going to start a civil war again with this foolishness.
Christian,
you know?
South Carolina.
This is how the first one started in the 19th century. Well, hey, man, you know, these other people, they don't want to stop the slavery. This is unbelievable. There is an organization called ChristianExodus.org. Thank you. And there is a picture of a guy in the story I have whose eyes are about the biggest saucers, named Corey Burnell. He's the president.
Look at that guy. You should go, if you're out there listening, go look up this story on the internet. And this guy is like a poster boy for, like, you know, born again convert guy.
Yeah.
Just like his eyes are wide open, full of the Jesus.
Oh, poor guy.
Well,
poor
a few guy. Days. Yeah, poor
I
guy.
Mean, come on.
Hey,
be nice about the way. Just ignore the way he looks. But what he's saying, on the other hand, go for it.
Well, he's trying to encourage thousands of Americans to migrate to South Carolina, run for state office, and eventually prompt the state to secede from the Union, peacefully secede from the Union, and become a new country. Now, this is not new.
This is hysterical.
Islam wanted this, okay, and I think they wanted South Carolina, too.
Did they really?
They wanted the 11 southern states of the old Confederacy.
They wanted all of them.
They wanted all of them. That included South Carolina.
Was that a symbolic idea?
That was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for years. He'd have the principles on the back of Muhammad Speaks, which was their newspaper, and that was one of the principles. We want the 11 southern states for black people to move because we're tired of you white people.
Yeah.
That was essentially his message.
Right.
So what this guy is saying is he's tired. Tired of liberals, all right, and his organization is
secular heathens.
Secular heathens, people who, you know, make fun of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, people who believe in gay marriage, people who are involved, you know, people who listen to Britney Spears music, whatever it is, he's sick and tired.
So what's a weekend look like in New Christian Land?
You know, well, they actually have a plan. You want to hear what the problem is? You want to hear? Well, we already told you what the problems are. The solution.
Yeah.
ChristianExodus.org offers the opportunity to try a strategy not yet employed by Bible-believing Christians. Rather than spend resources in continued efforts to redirect the entire nation, we will redeem states one at a time.
You know,
they're going to save states.
Yes.
I think secession, basically, is a great idea, but can't we just provide a whole load of barges, you know, the ones that used to float around New York with garbage? Can't we just make, you know, can't we have barges succeed? Everybody who's that extreme, just float them offshore without the garbage. Not with the garbage, but...
You're going to take the hit on that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what...
Put the Christmas how garbage
you,
barges.
Red-blooded Americans ain't touching that one.
Just barges, okay? Just the same idea. Float them around offshore. I mean, because otherwise... What do the other people do in the states that they want to succeed? They all have to move out, or they huddle in a corner, or what
get
do
out.
They do?
Leave.
No, they're enslaved.
They pay them to leave.
They're made into slaves for the Christians.
Yeah.
I want to clear something up here, because I get a lot of flack for being, you know, anti-religion, and I'm not. I'm not. All right, maybe a little.
Just a tad.
But, you know, you got to admit this is a far-fetched story. Even if you're Christian, I mean, would you live at this place? You know what I mean? I'm sorry it's not a call segment, but you can email me. If you're listening and you would move to Christian land, North Carolina, would you do that if you could? I'm just curious, because it would seem to me that, you know, there's a lot of people within our government right now who want to make the United States a country run by Christian laws. Which can be a little, a tad bit repressive, don't you think?
Well, you know, the people that actually said this, the people that published this story, WorldNet Daily, which is kind of, I don't know, there's some kind of internet news service, they've been getting emails about this proposal. One person, Shirley, says, "I'm willing to move if this is a serious undertaking. The idea of forming another country had been one I had thought of myself, and it seems to be the only feasible way of bringing back the moral foundation of the country. But now here's another one. Talk about giving the left a weapon from our weakness. These Christians are asking the state that started the Civil War to leave the U.S. and start a new country. With ideas like this, we won't need a devil."
Exactly. You got one right in there.
Yeah. Isn't this just a stunt? Isn't this kind of a stunt by Corey Burnell, the guy who's the president of the Texas-based organization, just to get, you know, plastered all across the media and get loads of cameras?
I think he's serious.
Really?
If it's a stunt, it's a symbolic stunt.
Yeah. A seriously symbolic stunt. Straight ahead, the Presidential Daily Briefing Recovery Corner, and we talk intelligence with the nation's Jason Vest. This is Air America Radio.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
It's the stick it where it hurts to feel well patch. Works in a hurry to feel well patch. Lasts a long time to feel well. Well patch, it brings you back to well patch.
Is pain keeping you from feeling well? Try the immediate, long-lasting pain relief of well patch. Well patch comes in a full line of pain-relieving patches that soothes your specific pain. For backache, arthritis, muscle pain, or stiff neck, put on a well patch.
Well patch, it brings you back to well patch.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Democratic presidential hopeful John Kerry has erased President Bush's lead in the key swing state of Pennsylvania. This according to a new poll. That poll says Kerry is supported by 44% of the state's registered voters, while Bush has garnered 41%. Most respondents were unalterably opposed to the war in Iraq and Bush's handling of the occupation. FBI and the Justice Department yesterday played strong defense in a swirl of mounting criticism at the Ashcroft-Mueller News Conference earlier this week on terrorist chatter was politically driven. Bush is reportedly upset this morning that Ashcroft, Mueller, and Homeland Security Chief Ridge did not seem to be on the same page about the information. And despite all federal government efforts to secure the flying public against terrorism in the sky, only today one major East Coast hub, Newark Liberty International Airport, will have the ability to screen the luggage of all their passengers for the first time. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hi. I want to thank you for remembering to recycle, and I want to let you know the recycling program has been completely restored. Every week we're now collecting glass bottles and jars, along with plastic bottles and jugs, metal cans, aluminum foil, beverage cartons, and drink boxes. And don't forget to recycle your mixed paper and corrugated cardboard. Just set out recyclables in clear bags or your recycling containers. If you have any questions or need container decals, please call 311. Thanks for doing your part, New York.
Tune in tonight to Hangouts, where you'll meet a pop star with a pool for a living room.
Sorry to interrupt, but why check out other people's dream homes when you can use a home equity loan to create your own? Now at LendingTree.com, you can find home equity rates as low as 3.75% APR, but they won't stay that way forever. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE, or visit LendingTree.com. When banks compete, you win. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply. See website for details and licensing.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's National Park System is one of the best ideas our country ever had. And I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK. 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
The O'Franken Factor.
Hi, this is Al Franken. Friday on the O'Franken Factor, the best show we've ever done. I can promise you that because we took the very best moments from our program so far and painstakingly wove them together to make a seamless and perfect whole. Wow. I'm staying home just to listen. Besides, who can afford to drive anywhere these days?
Al Franken and Catherine Lanfer on Air America Radio.
Good morning. Here we are. Here we are on Friday, the Friday before Memorial Day. We're all very excited because we're not going to be here, but we're going to have a best of morning's edition because this is morning's edition. We are on Air America Radio. I am Mark Maron. I am with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott, and we're having a morning. It's very exciting. Hey, okay, listen, you guys. Listen, I just want to tell you this on the QT. Yeah. At Hannity.com, okay, at Hannity.com, Kerry in a poll is leading. Like, Bush's got 34%, Kerry 64%. This is on Hannity.com. So what I want you guys to do, all right, is go to Hannity.com and let's try and get Kerry up over 70. All right, don't tell Hannity. All right.
Don't worry, he's not up yet.
Okay, and don't. And if you like, if you guys are right wing people listening to this, just because you hate us, just be cool, okay? Just be cool
for a couple hours.
Yeah, just just like see if we can do this.
Relax.
Because I know there's some haters out there. There's some Marin haters, and some liberal haters. But you guys let us have a good time once. All right.
Yeah. Before Sean wipes the results off his website.
All right, a listener told us about this, and I want to thank him for that. So now I'm going to start talking normally, but we're cool, right? You got the information. So how's everything going?
Hey, it's Friday.
So right now we've got a guest. This guy is the nation's national security investigative reporter. We've certainly got a lot of questions for him, given what's going on with Ashcroft and Ridge and military intelligence. And it's just a potpourri of intelligence-related questions for Jason Vest. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
How are you, sir? Hey, overall, has anything improved? It seems like there's still a lot of chaos in the intelligence community. Am I right?
Well, especially based on yesterday's developments, absolutely.
Is Ridge just pissed off that he can't play with the big boys?
So I gather. There were a lot of very unhappy political appointees in Washington yesterday getting called on the carpet by W.
So what effect, now, talk to us a little bit about military intelligence in terms of, like, we were speculating here at the show that Cambone was gonna take the fall. Can you, elaborate a little on what his position is, why it was created, and ultimately what's going to happen there?
Yeah, Steve Cambone's the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence at the Pentagon, and this is a creation, or this is a position that Rumsfeld wanted created, and Congress quietly obliged him in late 2002. He said he wanted to have someone in a high position who would be able to be the one person he could go to for all intelligence matters in the Pentagon, which was kind of a benign explanation. When you look at the authorizing language for his position, it essentially put him in charge of the entire Pentagon intelligence apparatus and having all of those agencies report to him and him be in essentially total control of all of those agencies. So, basically what Rumsfeld did was create a position that consolidated his grip on all of the Pentagon intelligence agencies, which also gets the most money from the intelligence budget. For years, people in the intelligence community have actually been arguing that those agencies like the National Security Agency, the National Reconnaissance Office, all of these agencies do technical collection, like signals intelligence. There's been an argument that they should be taken out of the military's control and put under civilian control. What Rumsfeld did went in exactly the opposite direction, and is essentially given him and the person he put in charge of it, who has no background in intelligence whatsoever, but whose prime qualification was his loyalty to Rumsfeld, to sort of give them absolute control of those agencies.
Jason Vest, you're the Nation's magazine's national security investigative reporter. Tell us, if you can, quickly, how good do you think that the intelligence gathered by the administration is in the 2 years since 9/11, and how good are they, or how accurate are they, in telling the public really what's going on?
Well, it depends what kind of intelligence you're talking about. there's clearly been one of the difficulties of covering the intelligence community, or working in the intelligence community, is that usually anything that goes wrong becomes public pretty fast, and anything that's done right tends to stay secret. So you sort of have to take their word for it in some cases on what's been done right. What's been done right is there has, at least in some cases, apparently been better coordination between agencies like the FBI and the CIA, and some terrorist plots have been undermined or foiled in their nascent stages.
So what do you think of this new terror threat? I didn't mean to cut you off, but it just seems like, are they overreacting? Are they using fear to guide the electorate? Are they, is this legitimate? What do you think's happening right now?
Well, it's certainly telling to me that apparently Ashcroft went out and gave this press conference without talking to anyone else.
Right, right.
Which doesn't speak well in terms of communication, of or about actual intelligence.
But that actually gives the president the ability to say that he didn't know about it if he disagrees with it. It seems like that's not unusual for this administration to not talk to each other just to protect their own asses, right?
Well, you have to wonder if it hasn't become a sort of conditioned or ingrained response, by this point. But I think what's interesting is in Washington late last year, I remember sitting around a table talking with colleagues, including Peter Bergen, who's CNN's terrorism analyst, and some other reporters. And something we were discussing last year was the factors and influences on the upcoming election.
Yeah.
And one of the points I made was that we discussed at length was maybe the only person's preference for president who mattered was Bin Laden.
Okay.
And our theory being that if you're Osama bin Laden, you actually want another 4 years of Bush because he's so good for rallying your base.
That's great. That's great. I wish we had more time to go into some of this, but I think that's a good place to end for today, Jason. I appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Jason Vest, the nation's intelligence security investigative reporter. Listen, we want to take your calls about something. Do you got any renegade intelligence? Do you have any sort of random bits of business that you want to share with us? Do you know something we ought to know? Give us a call. Are we doing that? We're doing that. Yeah, give us a call at 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. And, go to Hannity.com and put your vote in for Bush. We're trying to get that number, but don't
not
tell him.
Not for Bush.
No, I mean for Kerry, sorry, against Bush. And also email us at sedition@airamericaradio.com. We'll be back.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and, even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build and keep putting it off, but have you considered the cost of not building? Now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need with the General Steel Corporation. The General will show you how to save time and money with a steel building engineered for your area and to meet your needs. This is no metal box. General Steel will show you how to add the look of stucco, rock, or brick to make that building attractive yet low maintenance and energy efficient. Call toll-free 1-800-70-STEEL. If you need warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Whether you need a 60 by 120 for under $54,000 or a 100 by 150 for under $108,000, call the General now for free information. Grab a pen and write down this number, 1-800-70-STEEL. That's 1-800-70-STEEL. We'll be right back.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600. Or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple, grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation, which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
Forty-three past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. This morning's edition, I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Alcott on Air America Radio. The Friday before Memorial Day. 866-303-AAR0. 866-303-2270. Call us up with some something we don't know about some intelligence tidbits, or you know, if you want to talk about President Bush, how should he be held accountable if there's another terror attack in the U.S.? Also, we're encouraging our listeners to go to Hannity.com. To put in your vote for Kerry, who is beating Bush by some 30%. Bush 34%, Kerry 64% and rising.
30 points. He's beating him by 30 points.
20 points. That's what I said. What did I say? No?
30%.
30%. Yeah. 30 points. And 30. It wouldn't be 30% as well?
No, because then if one of them had one of them had 30%
beating. Oh, you're right. 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 I'm sorry, I was done with
that
in math. A plus B equals, I don't know, I'm hungry. All right, right now, our PDB, we have our PDB, our Presidential Daily Briefing, the highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning from the Homeland Security Office. Here we go. The PDB is titled, Homeland Security Threatens Homeland Security. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that Tom Ridge, head of the Office of Homeland Security, yes, our boss, has been getting into arguments with the Pentagon and otherwise acting as if he's running a real government agency. Ridge's actions threaten to expose the completely superfluous nature of this agency, which could create a domino effect exposing the completely superfluous nature of most government agencies. As you know, the Office of Homeland Security was created as a cosmetic public relations response to 9/11 and should not be treated as anything more than a convenient way to funnel tax dollars away from money-wasting social programs. Rather than focusing on actual Homeland Security, which is impossible to achieve, our first priority is your job security, Mr. President, which may also be impossible to achieve. We suggest assigning Rich to a year-long fact-finding trip to Alaska to investigate the spread of Eskimo terrorist cells. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security, but not Tom Ridge's office. Adam in New Jersey, what do you got?
I'd like to see some kind of polls in the papers asking Americans, if there was another terrorist attack, would that make them vote for George Bush, or would that not make them vote for George Bush?
That's a good question. You know what? I'll throw that to our callers as well. If there is another terrorist attack, would that sway your vote at all? And which way would it sway it? We go now to Bert in New Jersey. Bert.
Hey, Mark. How's everything going?
I'm fine, man. What's up? You got something for real here?
Yeah. Yeah, but, like, it's not usually for real. Anyway,
Anyway, he caught that.
Company I work for, we have big events, and usually have guest speakers at these events.
Yeah.
Most recently, we had a guy named John Loftus.
Yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah, he's got ties to the intelligence community, and at this event that he was at last week, he talked about what Bush's October surprise is going to be.
Oh, really? And what did he say?
He basically says he's going to expose to the nation this three-way deal between Libya, Iraq, and North Korea to develop nuclear weapons for the terrorist community, how they were building them. They basically carved out this whole side of a mountain in Libya to build this bomb-making factory. All the components are going to be provided by North Korea, and all the finance is going to be provided by Iraq.
It's going to appear out of some sort of Libyan intelligence that we didn't know about, and that, you know, it's all of a sudden it's like, hey, look what we found kind of deal?
Exactly. From all the stuff that we're getting from Libya now, this is what they're going to announce in October. There's another thing that he talked about, that all the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq that we're looking for are buried in the Bekaa Valley of Lebanon, and were shipped there 3 weeks before the war started.
Interesting. I mean, I love that kind of stuff, and certainly we can't prove that, but we're going to keep our eyes open. Thanks for calling us, Bert.
Wow.
You know, the number is 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. Of course, my mind just goes, wow, that sounds pretty rational.
Well, if he's really going for votes and he's mentioning Libya and Iraq and North Korea, then he has to throw in Cuba there as well, you know, the whole axis of evil and the junior axis of evil.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Cuba's on that.
If he came out and said, we suspect that Cuba might have weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah. They've been doing all of that while listening to Cuban music.
What
they're
year is
involved.
It, 1964?
Yeah. We got more weapons of mass destruction than any place else on Earth. Right here, okay. In the United States.
Yeah, I you know, it's weird when I hear conspiracy stuff. My mind just gravitates toward it. It's like, wow, wouldn't that be wild?
I saw you.
Howard, are you there? Howard, how are you, man?
Yeah, I'm here. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I'm calling because I was telling the producer, I guess, that I was in a pizzeria here on Long Island last night, and a bunch of just strangers waiting to get our food. We started talking about Bush, who's from Texas, and comparing him to Johnson. LBJ, who
yeah,
is in Texas.
Right.
And even though one's a Republican and one's a Democrat, and they both basically lied to the public to push their own agenda.
Right, absolutely.
To force a war that shouldn't be happening against the people whom we shouldn't be, maybe we should be helping, but not in this way.
Exactly.
We're certainly not destroying their land. And in Vietnam, we were just burning them all and shooting them in the streets, and here we're shooting them in the streets and putting them in prisons.
Well, that's
what they do in Texas.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's a very good analogy, Howard. Thanks a lot. Bob in Massachusetts, how are you, Bob? What's up?
My comment is that I'm speculating that perhaps, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, that they're going to trump up the fear, get the terror alerts going, and then magnificently and miraculously thwart an attack, thereby ensuring that George Bush is the man for the job.
He's the guy who's really tough on terror. Look what he did. We got him. Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. We had a caller bring that up yesterday and actually sort of changed my way of thinking on
it. I wouldn't buy that if George Bush himself single-handedly stopped the terror attack.
Do you think people, Mark and Sue, I'll put this out too, we can't take any more calls right now, but thank you for calling, because we're about to go away for a moment. Do you think that most people would believe it, though? Do you think that people are distrustful enough at this point of this administration that they would sense a setup? Are the American people collectively that intuitive?
I think they're split. I think those who just don't trust George Bush wouldn't trust him, and they go, yeah, well, that was a real manipulation, and those who believe in him would just buy it.
Let's see what happens by Labor Day.
Okay, all right. We'll be back with Recovery Corner and a lot of other fun stuff. Thanks for your calls, and I hope you're having a good morning. It's Air America Radio. Come on back.
Bill O'Reilly, Dr. Laura, and Robert Knight, Director of Concerned Women for America, agree. University of Minnesota Press is subversive, heinous, dangerous, and very evil. The American Library Association says they publish the kinds of books that enrich the public debate. Are you looking for the liberal media? Look to University of Minnesota Press, publisher of Notorious HIV, The Media Spectacle of Nushon Williams, by Thomas Chevary. Notorious HIV shows how media coverage robs individuals like Nushon Williams of their humanity. Notorious HIV shows how media creates an atmosphere of threat that warps the integrity of the criminal justice system. You can find this University of Minnesota Press publication at better bookstores everywhere. or visit our website at www.upress.umn.edu. That's upress.umn.edu.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream, man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071 for new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep. The Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Good morning. It's Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio with Mark Reilly and Sue Elcott on Air America Radio. Did I say that twice now?
Sure.
Hey, this thing is working, man. This thing is working. Apparently, because we don't have a lot of in-house communications going on, the majority report, Janine and Sam show that's on at night at 8 o'clock, actually initiated this prank. It's not a prank. It's for reals. Go to Hannity.com, Sean Hannity's website. You can see Sean Hannity in many different hairstyles. He's got the hockey hair, and he's got the, hey, look, I'm a political commentator hair. But there's also a poll, a Bush-Kerry poll, Nader poll, and we want you to go there and put in a vote for Kerry to get those numbers up. Apparently last night it was at 99% for Bush, and now it was actually 60. It was 34% Bush, 64% Kerry. Now it's up to 33% Bush, 65% Kerry, so it's going up. So
moving on up.
Yes. It's now 66. It just went up. So go there and do that just so Sean can wake up to something interesting.
So what's our goal? 70% before the end of the show?
No, let's get it all the way up there. Let's get it up as high as we can go. Yeah, 70%. Yeah, 70% would be good, though, so that would be good. And now, of course, I'm Mark. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
And in Recovery Corner, I like to reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober today. I offer my advice to my sponsee, George W. You know, it's Memorial Day, and that's a weekend that Memorial Day should be dedicated to the grief and respect that we pay, you know, our nation's war debt over the many years of our being a country. But it's also, you know, in the past, you know, Memorial Day weekend for you, George W., we probably marked it on red on your calendar to match the color of your eyes. It's a dangerous holiday for people in recovery. There's barbecue. There's corn on the cob. There are relatives that are just now talking to you again. There's beer. Memorial Day is beer's favorite holiday, my friend. But remember, one beer is too many and 1,000 never enough. This year can be different, George W. You don't have to spend all day cooking and boozing and then apologizing for it all, you know, the next week. If you're tempted to grab a cold one, keep those barbecue mitts on, my friend. It's a lot harder to crack open a pop top with your barbecue mitts on, buddy. Your worst day in sobriety is better than your best day drunk. I'm with you, man. And just for fun, I'm sending you an apron that says, don't let the cook drink or run the country. Why not throw that in? I don't want to politicize the program, but, you know, that's just my personal opinion. Remember, nothing so bad a drink won't make it worse. Bend your knee before you bend your elbow. Keep the plug in the jug. Don't drink today. Think, think, think. Do the next right thing. Get to a meeting. That's going out to my sponsor, George W.
All right.
How do you like that, huh?
All right. Thumbs up.
So, hey, oh, my God, Bill from Chappaqua on the phone. Bill.
Uh-oh.
Bill, President. Wait, no, it's William. It's William from Chappaqua. Yeah, William, how are you? Bill, President Clinton, nice to see you.
Good morning. How are you?
I heard you. I read in the paper you're looking for an apartment uptown.
I'm doing a little house hunting on the Upper West Side.
How's that going?
It's going pretty good.
Did you find anything?
Not yet, but I'm still looking.
Why are you going up there?
Well, you know, Manhattan, especially the Upper West Side, it's an intellectual hotbed.
Uh-huh. Oh, wait, there's Bill. I knew he was coming.
Hey,
Bill.
Buddy.
What's up?
What's going on? Let's go to New York. Those little town blues are melting away. I want to be a part of it. You know why I chose the Upper West Side?
Why is that?
Columbia University. Always an incoming freshman class. I'm thinking of teaching a class there.
You want to make yourself available to the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking of teaching a class in liberal arts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Really liberal.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's going to be liberal.
I'm
just no idea how liberal it's going to be.
You're going to make them read your book?
Oh, I'm going to make them read and write and study. You ought to see my lesson plan. Oh, my God. I got assignments that could take all night.
Is Hillary staying up in Chappaqua? Are you going to keep that house? Or?
Well, I'm not real sure what she's going to do. I have plans. You know, Elvis has plans.
So does she know about this apartment in New York at all?
Well, I've told her a little bit about it, but not quite the same way. He handles the communication part of the situation. I like to spend time at Central Park up at the sheep's meadow, looking at them lay out.
Yeah.
All the sheep in the meadow. Oh, marvelous.
Well, I certainly wish you luck in finding the place, President Bill and President William. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Hey, come by. We'll party.
I'll be there. You just say the day, man.
Oh, Lord. In our final hour of Morning's Edition, would you name your baby Apple? The Morning Devotional, and with all this terror talk, how scared should you be? This is Air America Radio.
Meet Randy and Joe.
How's it going?
Hey, everybody.
For his holiday weekend trip, Randy replaced the tires on the family car.
They were shot.
So did Joe.
Mine too.
But Joe chose from the top 8 tire brands.
The top 8?
Got free mounting.
Free?
And enjoyed new lower prices.
They lowered their prices?
That's because Joe went to Sears Auto Center.
I wish I did.
For tires, batteries, oil changes, shocks, and more, head to Sears Auto Center. Right now, take advantage of new lower prices on hundreds of tires. Sears. Good life, great price.
Hey, it's summertime, all right, and all that summer sun and heat you're taking in right now can really dry out your lips. So here's a little tip to help keep lips moisturized and protected. Chapstick Lip Moisturizer. That's right. Chapstick Lip Moisturizer's got SPF 15 and 10 moisturizers, like aloe and vitamin E, to moisturize summer-dried lips and help keep them feeling great. Because summertime is chapstick time, too. Use as directed.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Bush administration is trying to play cleanup this morning amid the swirl of mounting criticism at this week's well-publicized news conference over new credible information of an impending terrorist attack was politically driven. Both U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft and FBI Director Robert Mueller held the conference and sought to put the nation on notice of the possibility of attacks while not raising the alert level. The nation's top cop, John Ashcroft, on Wednesday.
This disturbing intelligence indicates Al-Qaeda's specific intention to hit the United States hard.
But Department of Homeland Security Chief Tom Ridge in New York yesterday again reminded the media that the information is not a breaking development.
I mean, we could go back over the past 2 years and pick out threat reports of pretty much the same substance.
Meanwhile, President Bush is said to be upset this morning that Homeland Security, the FBI, and the Justice Department have given the appearance of being miles apart. Speaking of Homeland Security, the Bush administration has spared no expense when it comes to making the American flying public feel safe in the sky by boosting airport screening and other security checks. Those measures were largely implemented after 9/11 when the entire airline industry went into a tailspin, so to speak, because of heightened fears of flying. Well, there's word this morning that only today one major East Coast hub will will finally have the ability to screen all of its passengers and not partially. Newark Liberty International has been outfitted with the needed equipment to do thorough screenings. The process begins in earnest today and comes 3 years after 9/11. Newark Liberty International is one of the airports where one of the 9/11 attack planes was used to take American lives. Democratic presidential hopeful John Kerry has erased President Bush's lead in the key swing state of Pennsylvania. This according to a new poll. That poll says Kerry is supported by 44% of the state's registered voters, while Bush has garnered 41%. Most respondents were unalterably opposed to the war in Iraq and Bush's handling of the U.S. occupation. It seems to be happening once again. President Bush has been campaigning across the country, saying he will do more in the second term to boost funding to health care and other domestic programs. For instance, the president was trying to win over voters in Tennessee yesterday at a Vanderbilt University Children's Hospital when he said he would boost health care. But a report from Washington this morning says the Bush administration has sent out a memo in preparation for a second term to cut funding for federal education, domestic security, veterans programs, and those in health care. The administration's budget plan is said to be preliminary and reflects largely what he would do in a second term. Shots fired briefly from buildings delayed a convoy of buses carrying men released today from Iraq's Abu Ghraib prison. The shooting forced U.S. military escorts to hunker down, and buses, more than 13 of them, stopped in their tracks. Hundreds of relatives who had been following the convoy also stopped, but once the shooting ended, they swarmed around the vehicles. Prisoners then got off the buses and went home with their families. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
This invitation may change the way you look at life if you are dependent on glasses or contact lenses to see at a distance or for reading. Customized laser vision treatments that correct the unique imperfections in your vision 25 times more accurately than other methods are now available at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Weill Cornell Medical Center. Dr. Sandra Belmont, director of the cornea service at Cornell Medical College, provides the most advanced and precise FDA-approved wave scan-driven corrections to safely improve eyesight for people with problems reading and seeing at a distance, and help throw away your glasses and contact lenses. To see what you've been missing and learn more about wave scan-driven and no-touch laser vision procedures, call Dr. Belmont at 212-746-2020. That's 212-746-2020. Or visit us at www.cornelllaservision.com.
Your lawn is being taken over by dandelions and crabgrass.
Help!
With Weed Be Gone, one product gets rid of the dandelions,
but not the crabgrass.
The other kills the crabgrass,
but not the lawn weeds. There's gotta be a better way.
There is. Bayer Advanced All-in-One Weed Killer. It kills lawn weeds plus crabgrass in just one easy step, and it won't harm your lawn.
Two kinds of weeds, one simple solution.
Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit buildup, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax bush once and for all.
Bring the noise with Chuck D.
What's happening, everybody? Yours truly, the Groovy Ghoulie, the Dapper Toe Tapper, Mr. Kyle Ice, Jason, coming at you live and direct. On the next Bring the Noise show, we have R&B hip-hop artist Karan. Also, Marvin Thompson and Fern Yates from the Jam Master J Foundation. Along with Mr. Maurice Mitchell from the Long Island Progressive Coalition. You do not want to miss the next Bring the Noise show. Be there.
On Air America Radio.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Friday, a special three-day weekend edition of the Liberal Agenda. Plus, are you afraid yet? You're supposed to be afraid because that's how Bush wants it. We'll tell you why. But right now, of course, as always, I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. It's morning.
Hey.
We're in the middle of a continuation of a prank established by the Majority Report last night. We want all of you out there to go to Hannity.com. That's Sean Hannity's site. And there's a poll there for...
Not so loud.
I'm sorry. There's a poll there, you guys, and it's a Bush and Kerry poll. And Bush was ahead by 99% yesterday, and Kerry was, like, down to nothing. But now we're getting it up. Bush is at 32%. Kerry is at, like, 66%. And if you go there and vote and then erase your cookies, you can go and vote again. You can do it over and over again. Because that's how we do it, because we're clever.
Everybody's showing us how totally meaningless all these polls really are.
Don't ruin our fun, too.
It's fun, but you know what? The Republicans are doing that, too. We've got to... How can we outsmart them when they're all doing the same thing? It's still a good game,
Just raining our parade. She's ruining it, Mark.
No, it's a great game.
Don't say it's not important. It's important.
It's important. Okay. Say crucially important.
Here's some chocolate milk.
Thank you very much. So go do that just for yuck, so Sean's got something to wake up to. And,
let's shout out the Majority Report, because if I stay up past 8 o'clock, I listen.
That's our bedtime now, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? We're like 9 again.
But, you know, you listen to a half hour, Janine, and unfortunately, you can end up staying up till about 9:30.
You get a mind full of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff. Sam Cedar's very informative and funny and antagonistic. Provocative, Janine, as well.
Sounds like you.
Who, Sam? Does
you all come from the same central casting or something? You, Janine, Sam?
Me and Sam come from the same sort of like, Jewish, pseudo-intellectual, angry, conspiratorial.
Was he the one that wore the bow tie to the launch party?
Yes, he did. He was the one who wore the bow tie to the launch party and had the vocal cord problem.
So how come you don't rag on him and you rag on Tucker Carlson for his bow tie?
Tucker Carlson is an ass. He's like this, like, he doesn't argue well, and, you know, all he does is, like, whenever he's losing, he goes, who cares? That's what I want to know. Who cares? Like you just did about our poll. Who cares? It doesn't make any difference.
I was just trying to make a point about the sneakiness of internet facts. That's all. I think it's a good game. We'll be playing them at their own game, because I bet the voters for Bush have been going on and erasing their cookies too. But we will out erase them.
We're 67% now.
Hilarious. Sean Hannity's going to wake up and bust a blood vessel over.
So we just need to get three more points over the next hour.
No, I hope he's not onto it. I hope someone hasn't called him up. Go, Sean, dude, wake up! The liberals are ruining your website. Alan Collins, please, if you could go vote. All right, do something righteous, will you, Alan?
Alan's a good guy.
He's a good guy. I did a show years ago. I don't remember why, but I remember being there with him.
I smoked cigars with Sean in Philadelphia four years ago at the convention.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that guy.
Sean?
Yeah. But what Alan Combs, I believe, used to be a comic way back.
I think he was, and then he went into radio.
Went into radio. He's actually got like sort of like this weird kind of. He used to be sort of an extra type of actor. Like he showed up in Woody Allen's Stardust Memories, I think. But enough trivia. You know what I want to talk about, Mark? I want to talk about these Republicans. You know, now trying to depict Gore as some sort of like, you know, he's crazy. He's out
unstable.
Of control.
He's unstable. They're trying to dean him.
Remember what they did with Howard Dean. Even that was unfair. You know, he's not crazy. He's upset. He's worked up about real issues, you know.
How dare they?
Exactly. How dare they?
You know why they're reacting to him like that? Because he did damage with this. This has lasted now 2.5 news cycles.
It was great.
Of course it was. And they're squealing like stuck pigs because it was great. They didn't expect. They were looking at John Kerry over here wondering what he's going to say about national security. And all of a sudden the media is covering Al Gore like a blanket. They thought he was done 4 years ago.
Gore is standing in for Kerry's gonads right now. That's part of the way the democratic process works. What do you got? What do you got there? Let's hear it. Yeah,
hear it.
How dare the incompetent and willful members of this Bush-Cheney administration humiliate our nation and our people in the eyes of the world and in the conscience of our own people? How dare they subject us to such dishonor and disgrace? How dare they drag the good name of the United States of America
through the mud of Saddam Hussein's torture prison.
Nice.
That is a powerful voice.
He has
a very resonant voice. He's very preacher-like.
Great build. He really planned it well. And I hope that, for the first time, I don't want people writing in saying, like, don't say that about Carrie. Carrie's got gonads, too. Don't criticize Carrie. I'm completely on board with Carrie. I think he's doing... Let's hear a little John Kerry.
We got some John Kerry.
But he gave a speech. He made a lot of good points. And now the Republicans are trying to... accuse him. What's that guy's name, Mark? Where is that quote?
I just have
it sitting right in front
George
of me.
George Allen. Senator George Allen.
Right.
Yeah. And
hate-filled political attacks do not make America stronger or safer. John Kerry and the Democrats are more worried about political attacks than prosecuting the war on terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear John Kerry.
Over the last year, we've heard from the president that our policy should be to simply stay the course. One thing I learned in the Navy is that when the course you're on is headed for the shoals, it's pretty smart to shift the rudder.
Here, let me button it.
How dare they!
See, now together, what you have there is a powerful Democratic message.
He just needs your machine as his running mate.
But to accuse them of politicizing the war on terror, I mean, this entire war was political in nature. The administration that is in office now created this war out of political... It's a completely political war. It had nothing to do with the truth of what they told the American people. I mean, you know, just by the fact that, like, Bush didn't kill Zarqawi when he could. It wasn't about terrorism. He let that guy go so he could go to Iraq, right?
That's right. And you know what? This is really, in its essence, about leadership.
Yeah, and also Bush said that he didn't want the 9/11 commission because he thought it would indict him somehow, and that was just so it wouldn't happen again. This administration politicizes everything. All they care about is maintaining power.
Well, wait a minute. Follow what you just said.
Okay, please.
He didn't want the 9/11 commission. It was created. He names Tom Ridge the Homeland. He didn't want the 9/11, and he didn't want Homeland Security.
Right.
He names Tom Ridge the boss of Homeland Security. And then institutes a series of steps that are supposed to be gone through when you do terror alerts. His attorney general ignores the steps, puts Tom Ridge over in a corner, makes the announcements himself when he's not supposed to. And what does Bush say?
I didn't know. John didn't call me. And this is also a president that used 9/11 coffins in one of his advertisements. And he's going to accuse anybody of politicizing terror. This is a president who is like, terrorism has gone up since 9/11. It has not gone down. I mean, we have numbers on that. I mean, four years prior to September 11th, 8 attacks, 349 fatalities, 7 nations. In the 3 years after September 11th, 14 attacks, 599 fatalities, not including the 800 Americans who are now dead in Iraq. This is not a president who is, you know, doing something for the people. He's staying the course because he's committed, he's stubborn, and he doesn't care.
Exactly.
He doesn't care.
But that's what Mark Riley said. It's about leadership, and it really is about leadership, and it's very unfair for the Bush administration to target Kerry as if he is a weak leader. I mean, listen to this comment that he said when he launched his 11-day trip that's focusing on war and terrorism yesterday. Staying the course is important, and staying the course is the phrase that Bush keeps sticking with over and over, but staying the wrong course is not a sign of strength. It is a mark of stubbornness, and it ultimately weakens this nation and the world. And that is the point with Kerry, is that he undermines Bush, I think, very carefully by staying open to changing facts in Iraq. And Bush has backpedaled. He has reached out to the international community after basically saying, we're going to do this kind of on our own. And
they're icing him.
He's shifting his policy. And
but aren't they icing him? Isn't the international community icing him?
They are. The British have said they're sending a few hundred troops, but not into the severe combat areas. They're still withholding whether they're going to do that or not. But here was what the Bush campaign manager, Ken Melman, said. For John Kerry, the war on Iraq and the overall war on terror is a political game of Twister. I mean, isn't that a bit rich when Bush has been playing Monopoly all this time?
Mm-hmm.
Spoken like a true Melman.
It's really... I don't think they're going to be very successful with all of this stuff because Bush, they haven't got a plan. They haven't got leaders named in Iraq who are going to be part of the Iraqi government for when they hand over power on June 30th. all that stuff, they fumbled this week.
No one wants to play with them. They've created this situation that they're committed to, and everybody who is aggravated with them and the chaos that has ensued because of their policies, who would want to be president there? It's out of control. You might as well be...
But you know what their game was? Their game was to name somebody and then make it look as though that person was intimately involved in naming the other members of the cabinet. So without the head guy...
They can't fake it.
It looks like, hey, it's us. You know what I'm saying?
Unbelievable.
And that's the problem. They know that the Iraqis don't want to hear about American-appointed puppets. And I'm saying that from their point of view. That's what they're looking at. And, of course, John Kerry, unlike Bush, has a four-point plan as far as national security is concerned. New alliances with foreign countries, an updated military, which I know General Eric Shinseki will like, the use of diplomacy, intelligence, economic power, and the appeal of American values and ideas to keep the country safe, and freedom from dependence on oil from the Middle East.
Right. Plus... I want to undercut terrorists with non-military approaches and revamp intelligence gathering and use economic sanctions to block development of nuclear weapons, not war.
Yeah. That's a Kerry plan. Let's make it happen. Go to Hannity.com. Put your vote in for Kerry just for a symbolic gesture. And then come back to us. We'll be back here on Air America Radio.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband, Michael, at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband, Tom, through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband, Jack, on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
A lot of birds winter here. You go out to the wetlands, you have a pretty strong likelihood of seeing bald eagle.
It's also an important nursery ground for fish.
Crystal Kane and Dr. Michael McCrander are environmentalists. They're helping restore Louisiana's sensitive coastal wetland.
Louisiana has about 40% of the nation's wetlands.
But 80% of the wetland losses have occurred in Louisiana.
Their help is vital to the wetland, to our energy needs, and to the companies they work for, Shell and its affiliates.
As you lose the wetland buffer, you lose your protection. And when you lose your protection, it impacts our country's energy.
If the system goes away, all of our options are gone. Shell understands that.
While the wetland also protects a quarter of the country's energy supply, that's not the only reason these two are here.
It's our backyard.
To find out more, visit Shell.com.
I was born completely healthy, but when I was 10 months old, I caught a virus that attacked my heart.
Lacey wouldn't have lived without a heart transplant. Today, she is a normal, healthy teenager.
That heart transplant saved my life. Now, I'm 14, and I'm just starting high school. Some of the things I like to do are volleyball, basketball, drumming, snowboarding, dancing. I can't stand sitting around. My philosophy is to never waste a minute because of this wonderful gift I've gotten.
Lacey is one of hundreds of thousands of people who've been given the chance to live because someone else chose to be an organ and tissue donor.
I don't think about my transplant that often, but if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be here right now. My parents don't treat me any differently. They just treat me like a normal kid, because I am.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to www.donatelife.net.
Yes, yes, this brings me back to the best parts of driving around in my buddy Dave's Firebird in high school, 1977, 78.
I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. I'm digressing. I'm here with Mark Reilly and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio. Sometimes the music here brings me back to a past that I remember fondly that is not necessarily the past you would think that I would have, driving around playing air guitar to a whole lot of Rosie in Albuquerque, New Mexico, cruising the McDonald's with my buddy Dave and the 72 Firebird.
You know how far he went? He forgot our names momentarily. I saw it.
Oh, no. No.
I'm Mark Maron, and I'm with Sue Ellicott and Mark Reilly.
Transported back to that Firebird.
He was in that Firebird. That's why.
It was a cool car, and he had, like, you know, the Holley double pumper and the dual things that car people know about.
Yeah, the 442s and the heavy underglasses.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, I was not the car guy, but I hung around with the, you know, car guy. Here we go. Today, my buddy just got this to me a couple hours ago. This is he hacked into the presidential Palm Pilot, you know, while he was replacing the pens on the president's desk. That's my buddy. Here's the president's schedule for today. 8 a.m., wake up. Pardon Ramon. Going to be a long weekend. Going to need the stuff from back in the day. Codename Patriot Powder. 9:30 a.m., put on Clinton disguise. Meet Ramon in Public Park. Score the stuff, you know, from back in the day. 11:25 a.m., meet Prime Minister of Denmark. Yes, you have to. 11:30 a.m., take bathroom break. God, he's boring. Good thing I scored some Patriot powder. 11:35 a.m., wide awake. I love Denmark. Hell, I love all of South America. 12:30 p.m., take Prime Minister of Denmark on White House tour. Lincoln bedroom there, Rose Garden there, painting of Kennedy there. Bing, bing, bing. Happy now? All right, bye. 1 p.m., review schedule for Memorial Day. Plan visit to Tomb of the Unknown Campaign Contributor. 3 p.m., order CIA heckling squad to disrupt whatever snotty veterans sing Kerry has planned. 4 p.m., disco nap. Reschedule briefing about terrorist threats. 6 p.m., plan annual Memorial Day barbecue for National Guardsmen who didn't serve. Note, have fireworks outside this year. 9 p.m., have Secret Service score 2 more units of Patriot powder from Ramon. Then have him rearrested because it's his fault that you are having the problem.
So when he's flipping those burgers this Memorial Day weekend, do you think he's adding that to the gross national product?
Oh, yeah. You think that he's going to say he had a temporary job as a burger flipper over the weekend?
Yeah, he'll be another one on the job creation program next month.
Probably. Probably. I wouldn't doubt it.
Wouldn't put it past him.
Nope. Yeah. So what are your kids' names, Sue?
They are...
If you don't mind sharing.
Can I remember? When did I last see them?
I'm Mark with a C. My brother's name was Craig.
I'm Mark with a K.
That's not unusual. Your kids?
Nathaniel and Joseph.
Joseph, not unusual. Nathaniel, a little quirky, but not unusual.
But it's the I-E-L. It's not the A-E-L.
Oh, well, I didn't even realize that there was like a weird way to spell Nathaniel.
You don't call him Nate, do you?
No.
Good.
I call him Nathaniel.
Nathaniel, there you go.
Now, Gwyneth Paltrow, they named their kid Apple.
That's because she's married to a rock star. She's a celebrity, and it's expected.
Apple.
They're whack.
You know that song Boy Named Sue by Johnny Cash?
Yeah.
They don't realize how screwed up. Even Mark with a C. My last name, Maron, you can imagine what I went through as a child. Moron. And then the regular mispronunciations, you know, Moran, Marin, Marone, but Moron. The best nickname I ever got was Marinated Man. There's the Marinated Man. Teddy Bergeron, old comic, used to call me that.
Then,
but you know what? I was marinated.
Killed him.
He's got his own problems. He's busy killing himself somehow.
I just imagine if you're called Riley, you're quite safe. If you're Ellicott, you get apricot. Helicopter.
Well, see, I didn't get mispronunciations. I get misspellings to this day.
Oh, really?
Now, I, for those of you who don't know, am African American. I go somewhere.
Whoa, back up.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't tell you. How come you waited two months to tell us?
It's been a while.
We would be nicer to you if we'd known.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It's a liberal radio station.
Hey, Jack, I'm black, okay? I go somewhere, and the first thing that happens is, your name is Riley. Do you spell that R-E? No, I spell it R-I. Okay, that's R-E? No.
Is it a hooked on phonics joke, the reason they're asking you?
They think I'm black Irish, I guess. I don't know. They think everything is automatically R-E-I-L-L-Y. Now, I don't know a single black person. I know several black Rileys, including many in my own family.
Yeah.
None of them spell it R-E-I-L-L-Y. That is, I assume, an Irish.
Yeah, like O'Reilly.
Derivative. Yeah, but everybody, and, you know, Bill O'Reilly, he spells it that way.
Uh-huh.
Anywhere I go, they never get R-I-L-E-Y right off the top. Not even black people. Oh, it's R-E-I? No, it's R-I-L. It's like, you know, with my, because, again, for those of you who don't know, I got gray hair. right?
Oh,
so
man.
When the people see me with my daughter, who's seven,
I automatically... It's still dark to us, Mark.
Yeah, thank you very much. I am automatically not her father. I'm her grandfather. Oh, is that your grand... No.
Irish grandfather.
Yes.
No, my wife, when people see me with my wife, who's 12 years younger than me, they don't see her husband. They see a criminal.
Oh.
Well, people do with my husband. They're just plain amazed.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my goodness. Uh-oh.
For what?
Why? Tell us why.
Who's the lucky one? Well, here's some other weird names. Jermaine Jackson's daughter, I'm assuming, is Your Majesty Jackson.
Your Majesty.
It's his son, Your Majesty Jackson.
That has a sense of humor, at least.
Yeah, but it's a kid. It's a living joke.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's got a sense of humor. There's the punchline.
I'm surprised more of these
Your Majesty.
I'm surprised more of them don't end up being serial killers or something.
Zoe Duncan Haywood Bowie.
Oh, okay. Zoe Bowie. There was that whole rhyming thing. It's like, what's he called? Nolan Bolan. Mark Bolan's son. Roland Bolan, I'm sorry. Yeah, Roland Bolan. There's that whole rhyming thing, clearly, that went on in the 70s.
Brooklyn and Romeo Beckham.
Mm-hmm.
Here's I don't
know. No, that's that whole thing of people who name their kids after where the child was conceived.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
I just hope in that case it wasn't the back of an Alfa Romeo.
Yeah, well.
Then they're the Zappas, Dweeza Diva, Moon. I know Moon. She's,
you know, I'm doing okay with Nathaniel and Joseph. People might say they're rather nice. Boring, but they can't really hate me, can they, later? Not for that, anyway.
No.
But my brother's,
something else.
My brother's kids are shy. They're all Hebrew names, Matana and Eden. And they're all beautiful. Go to Hannity.com, Sean Hannity's website.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, but be cool about it, though. Okay, go to Hannity.com and put your vote in for Kerry. Apparently, the Erasing the Cookies thing is not working, so just vote. And we're trying to get that way up. Majority Report started this prank. We're carrying it over into the morning. We want Hannity to come in and go, what the?
Yeah.
So you might want to do that for yucks and giggles.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's going to go berserk if he hears that Air America had anything to do with it, because he is really, really down on Air America.
I can't understand why. Can't we all just
get along? Yeah. Right, Rodney?
Is he black, by the way?
Who?
Rodney King?
Rodney King?
There's rumors.
Or Sean Hannity?
It was a joke after you told us you finally came clean with us, Mark Riley, and told us you were African
American. I'm an African American, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. And see, African Americans, quiet as is kept, have some really strange names for their kids.
What's some good ones? They always
well,
have good ones.
There are the two in Washington twins, Chardonnay and Chablis. you know, and then there's all the Latasha,
named
Laquisha,
after why they were conceived.
LaQuanda, yeah.
See, I always argue with this when I've had LaQuanda, English friends yeah. go, oh, is that person called Kanisha? What a funny name. I said, why is that a funny name? It's just not one that you would use.
No, it's not one most human beings would use. But hey, we quibble. We're coming right back. NYU professor and author Mark Crispin Miller joins us, plus the morning devotional and the liberal agenda. You are listening to Air America Radio.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy rewards program subject to eligibility.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The Bush administration has sent out memos to officials overseeing federal education, domestic security, veterans, and other programs, including health care, indicating the cupboard is bare. The president in the memo is calling for cuts at all the programs if he's elected to a second term. Memos went out even though Bush is canvassing the countryside, promoting how those programs would be even better if he were elected to a second term. Officials of the FBI and those of the Justice Department played defense yesterday after Democrats and some Republicans alike criticized the administration for giving the impression there were new terrorist threats against Americans without raising the terrorist alert level. Former President Bill Clinton has come to the defense of Democratic presidential contender John Kerry, saying he's not running a too safe campaign. Clinton says it's not the candidate's job to comment on daily events during an election. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
This year, you're going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. The Smoking Solution components have already helped thousands of ex-smokers kick the habit permanently. We guarantee you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 7 days or your money back. Unlike gums or patches, the Smoking Solution is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. We also include the Slimming Solution to fight weight gain, powerful antioxidants to help heal your lungs and body, and much, much more. Best of all, the Smoking Solution system works fast. In as little as 1 week, we can help you kick the habit once and for all. Come on, aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, the Smoking Solution system is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
I feel a cold coming on, and I'm in a wedding this weekend.
This cold better be gone soon. I'm going on vacation. Is there any way to make a cold go away faster?
Yeah, is there?
There is. Cold Ease Lozenges. Clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Cold Ease's patented homeopathic formula.
Cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Cold Ease Lozenges. The shorter the cold, the better. And try new Cold Ease Nasal Spray.
Unfiltered.
I'm Rachel Maddow. On the next Unfiltered, it's win or go home. No, we're not talking about the NBA playoffs. We're talking about Iraq and the growing idea that if the Bush administration can't figure out an exit strategy, somebody better do it for them and fast. Luckily, some of the people who can will be on our show because we're here to help. Since it's Friday, we'll have our week in review set to music, of course. That and all the news that's fit to fake.
Unfiltered on Air America Radio.
We're back. It's Morning Sedition. We're actually having a very good time.
Oh, yeah.
Even with the world ending and everything. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. We're going to introduce, we have an in-studio guest in a moment, but you guys, this Hannity.com thing is working. It's working. You know, we're getting the number up. What is it? It's at 68:30. We're trying to get it to 70% for Kerry. So could you go to Hannity.com and cast your vote for John Kerry?
We've got up 5 points in an hour and a half.
Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful. It's a very exciting thing that
we love you all.
That Sean Hannity's going to have to wake up to. See, it's the little things. Mark Crispin Miller, a professor of media studies at NYU, is in-house.
Here I am.
We're having a good time with the Hannity website.
I can see that.
Well, yeah.
But it's a symbolic thing, then.
When you don't have a democracy, you take the next best thing.
Which is the Internet.
Which is just random polling to make an impact?
Right. Well, you do what you can do.
Well, you know, what we're addressing most of the day are these sort of these very specific and very profound threats of terrorism put forth by John Ashcroft. And apparently, Tom Ridge was pissed off because he didn't know about the. he thought he was supposed to.
He's the last to know this.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's the children's table.
Nobody told me.
And no one in the administration, the higher ups, the president, apparently, he's going to, you know, he doesn't know anything until they accuse him of knowing something. Then he says, I didn't get to read anything, right?
Yeah.
So, what I want to address with you is how this administration wields fear to control people. Is this something like, you know, sometimes you don't like the word conspiracy theorist.
No, I love it. I just don't use it in public.
Okay. you're willing to go ahead and let it all out to make the information available and let people speculate in the right direction.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are conspiracy theories that are cracked.
Of course, there is no, it's like Hunter S. Thompson said, anyone who lived through the 70s realizes there's no such thing as paranoia, it's all true. Now, how do we respond to this? I mean, how do we respond to this type of fear? Is it real? Is it not real? Is it being used as a tool? What do you think?
Well, given the authors of this latest scare, given who they are, I'd say that the chances are excellent that the warning has no basis in reality. Now, having said that, I will admit to you that I expect we will be the object of a terrorist attack at some point.
Yes.
I don't see why we wouldn't be.
Right.
But that's a reality that bears no relation to what the Bush administration tells us.
And the timing, of course,
the
suspect.
Timing is everything in propaganda.
Yes.
Let me say something about the Bush regime. Not unlike the previous Bush regime.
Yeah.
Not unlike it. This one depends completely on an atmosphere of crisis. It depends entirely on mass fear in order to get its numbers jacked up. The father was always dependent on invading other countries. His ratings were always very low unless he was invading Panama or Iraq.
Right.
This one, his all is mass panic. He wouldn't be anywhere if it weren't for 9/11.
Right.
And what they're trying to do is protract that first, orgasm of terror
right.
for as long as possible. So Ashcroft comes out conveniently with this warning that doesn't seem to entail a change in the color code.
That's a very curious thing, because apparently we were talking about that today. There might be a couple reasons for that. And some of the call-in guests that we had, not guests, but people, listeners, were speculating. My initial response was that, you know, he's making everybody frightened, you know, just so people will follow him. And then someone else said that this might be the beginning of a staged event where he's going to frighten everybody. They know exactly where these guys are. They got their pictures. You know, and it's not a warning. It's that they're going to catch one of them, and they want to familiarize the public with these people. So when they catch them, they go, see, we got one of the people on the picture. But what I was getting at when I was when I began this little tirade was what? Where was I going with that?
We were talking about fear, their dependence on fear.
Yeah,
and
okay.
You were so traumatized that you lost touch with the subject.
I completely lost my trajectory.
How can anybody get over that? I mean, how does the public, I don't feel more frightened or less frightened
than I did,
you know, a week or a month or a year ago. But what can the public do to sort of immunize themselves from this rhetoric of fear?
Well, I think that the American public in particular is obligated just to take a little peek at our own national history.
Okay.
This trick, and I assume that it is a trick, is this gambit trying to terrorize us into seeing things their way and voting for them. It's the oldest trick in the book,
uh-huh.
right? I mean, the framers of the Constitution had studied all of ancient history, Greece and Rome, and Madison put it beautifully when he said, the fetters on liberty at home have ever been forged out of the weapons used to fight real, pretended or imaginary dangers from abroad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he knew what he was talking about.
Imaginary, even.
Any kind.
Yeah.
They could be real threats. We could imagine them. We could be feigning them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any difference. This is how tyranny establishes itself. And Hermann Göring said
yeah.
the same thing a couple of centuries later, sweating in his cell in Nuremberg.
Yeah.
He was talking to the previous psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Probably smelled
Jones
real bad, too.
Jones in
yeah,
bed.
He had a terribly poor self-image, Mark. I don't know if you know that.
So, well, you know, most drug addicts do, yeah.
I know. It was a pathetic story. Anyway, he said the same thing, you know, less eloquently. He said, it doesn't matter whether you got a democracy or you got communism or you have a fascism, whatever form of government you have, all you have to do is convince the people that they're in danger, and then they'll let you do anything you want.
The fellow who's ever leading. In this sort of the stubbornness of this administration is like, you know, we're going to stay on course. We're the tough daddy. Come on board. We'll take care of you. The thing we were saying about the color alert is that, you know, Sue had found some information today. It was in the press. I mean, it's not like we dug it up from nowhere, that it costs local police departments a lot of extra money whenever it goes up to orange. So there might have been pressure, you know, because they were doing it every other day to protect their own ass from, you know, if something did happen, they could at least say, well, we warned you. But now, I guess financially, you know, it's not a smart idea for them to start saying that.
You know what I think the dead giveaway was in this?
Hmm.
The thing that tipped it for me was Ashcroft's gratuitous observation that Al-Qaeda saw how successful this was in Madrid because they managed to manipulate the Spanish election.
Right, that was such a twist.
Mm-hmm. So that the implication there is that, say there is an attack, we don't know that there will be one.
Yeah, you got to be a
if
terrorist.
If there is one, if you don't support the president through it, through thick and thin, you're an appeaser. You're helping the terrorists.
Yeah.
Right?
That's demonic. You know what I mean? I think democracy hopefully will be an obstruction to this president gaining power.
Well, we're working on it.
So we're going to come back with you. We're going to take some calls. And you can, I know I sort of jumped in there, Mark. And
no,
you can,
sorry.
So how do you gauge what's real and what isn't in terms of fear? And do you have any questions for Mark Crispin-Miller or any input about the sort of deviousness of this administration in this regard? Call us at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. Go to Hannity.com. Put your vote in for Kerry. Let's get those numbers up and come back to Air America Radio after this.
Worry is emotional torture. It consumes you and robs you of happiness and peace of mind. Anxiety is worry gone out of control, and you can't help it. It tears at your nerves and rips at your heart. It makes your mind race in circles and keeps you from enjoying the moment. Sometimes people turn to medication or alcohol for relief, but medications can have negative side effects, and some medications, as well as alcohol, can be addictive, causing more problems. Anxiety and the worry that goes with it ruins relationships and careers and tears families apart. And people that love you, they tell you to just stop it, that you're doing it to yourself, but you can't because you don't know how. I can show you how. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me send you a powerful free tape that will provide you with insight and hope. Call 1-800-600-8892. And I'll send you this wonderful free tape. That's 1-800-600-8892.
I'm Howard Dean. Over the last year and a half, I've heard so many stories from working Americans about the strain and struggle of daily life. But none are more heart-wrenching than the stories told by New York's home health aides. Their struggle says a lot about what's wrong in America. Government gives home health care agencies millions of our tax dollars to help the sick, elderly, and disabled. Executives of these agencies pay themselves hundreds of thousands of dollars. The home health aides who provide the care live in poverty, making just $7 an hour, less than $14,000 a year, most with no health benefits. Please join me in the fight to get New York's home health aides a living wage. Go to their website at 1199SEIU.org and make a contribution to the Solidarity Fund. That's 1199SEIU.org. Or call 866-HHA-HERO. Stand with New York's home health aides. Because taking back America is up to all of us.
This message from Howard Dean was paid for by 1199 SEIU.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Forty-four past the hour, morning's edition of Mark Maron with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott, our guest in studio is the Professor Mark Crispin Miller.
Hey, I know you don't like it, educator. No,
no, no. The revered, no. The revered
media.
No.
Just a guy. It's just a guy, with some credentials, written a couple books, media critic. Right now, it's time for our morning devotional. Dear Lord, I just read that a group of your extreme fundamentalist Christian followers want to secede from the United States and form their own Christian state. Separation of church and state is one thing. Separation of state and state is something else. I know we fought a long, bloody war to keep the Union together, but maybe they've got a point. What would be so terrible if a bunch of gun-toting, bigoted wackos decided to pack up and move? What if they all moved to some big, empty, boring place somewhere and never bothered us again? Plenty of room in Canada. That's all I'm saying.
Ooh.
I know, I feel, yeah, ooh. It's a little rough, right? But Lord, if after a year or so, when they realize the error of their ways, they should be still be forced to live there against their will, as many Canadians are. We all have to live together, but do we? It's your decision, of course, but if they decide to leave, I have a van they can borrow. Amen.
Amen.
So we got some emails. Please make sure to warn people not to read anything at Hannity.com lest they toss their breakfast. We are having... go to Hannity.com. Vote. Put your vote in for Kerry. We're trying to up those numbers. Majority Report initiated this prank last night, and we just got it up to 70% for Kerry, 28% for Bush. Is that 29% for Bush, 1% for Nader?
Computer? How about we use our computers here?
Well, yeah, we got to vote, yeah. But I'm busy looking at the call-in.
Hey,
yes,
who said it's a prank?
It's not a prank. It means business. If you do this now, Kerry will win.
That's 866-303-AAR0.
866-303-2270. Sedition at airamericaradio.com. We're having a good time. We're taking your calls for Mark, Chris, and Hillary. We're talking about fear, about, you know, whether or not this terrorist attack is just a way to manipulate us into voting for them. How do you see fear? How do you decide what is real and what isn't? Big questions here this morning for Mark, Chris, and Hillary. Michael in Vermont, how are you? Michael. Hi.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I just had a humble observation about the boy that cried wolf syndrome that's being created. Basically,
yes.
You know, just aside from being a dishonest practice of creating fear over all this, our ability in the future to react to the situation if it's serious is diminished.
Okay, thanks for your call. He's,
that's
I guess
a good point.
That's a very good point.
He's right on the money, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can wear this. You can wear this organ out. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You cannot keep getting people to jump through hoops.
People get exhausted and they're getting distrustful. We talked to James Galbraith about poll numbers, and what he indicated was that the jump in the polls after 9/11 was the only jump in the polls, and that since then it has steadily declined. Despite whatever money, whatever advertising, whatever events happened in the world, it has steadily declined at a progressive rate. Over the last few years. And I imagine, if I can extrapolate from those facts, is that that's because people are losing any sort of faith and trust in this administration. After a certain point, how could they not?
I think a certain amount of the support was based on wishful thinking and fear. I mean, if you get a phone call late in the evening, a voice that you don't know says, do you support the president?
Mm-hmm.
You might, stand at attention, you know, draw the curtains and say, oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I got to wonder. It seems to me that if this administration is doing half of what we think they are, they're not just devious. I mean,
nothing?
Well, no, some of the stuff they're doing is quite calculated, I would think, in terms of, you know, this whole fear situation. I mean, that gets to the point of in my mind, being diabolical. And I got to wonder if the American public is prepared to believe that we actually elected somebody.
We didn't.
I know, but, I mean, we allowed him to take office, didn't
well,
we?
Well, that's
all
different,
right.
Though. That's an important difference.
Yeah,
there was
but
an
I
enormous
mean,
vote against Bush.
Yeah, there was. But, I mean, are the American people prepared to believe that we elected, or no, that a guy is now president who is this
diabolical? Well, that's a tough one. And I think, to tell you the truth, the American people generally are probably better able to come to that understanding than people in, say, the mainstream media, people in Washington, mainstream Democrats. I was watching Larry King Live the other night, and he had Ann Richards on. Some woman called up, made a perfectly rational statement. She said, I'm really worried about these voting machines. I mean, how are we going to be sure that
the Diebold machines?
Yeah, the Diebold machines. They're, you know, Republican money is behind them. They're completely unreliable, and they may be planning to steal the election. Larry King jumps in and says, no, wait a minute. That's irresponsible. She had mentioned Pennsylvania. And Ann Richards said that these companies are really very concerned about their public image, and they're going to watch it. And I know the governor of Pennsylvania, and he's a friend of mine. And it was all insider stuff.
Hmm.
What this suggests to me is what you're saying. These people do not know what they're up against.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we're up against something that's brand new in our mainstream political traditions.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a call from Mike in Florida. Mike, how are you?
Guys, doing great.
Thanks.
Love the show.
Thank
and
you.
I want to definitely agree with you that this administration always plays to the lowest common denominator, which is, of course, fear.
Huh.
They've done it from the very beginning. They continue to. And I just what I'm afraid of is that Al-Qaeda does want George Bush to remain president. And if they can pull off an attack over the summer, is that for them to accomplish their objective? Because you know what we do as Americans, we go wave the flag and, you know, stand behind the president in time of crisis. I'm hoping more than ever that we stay safe this summer, because I'm afraid something like that could undo the progress that Kerry's making. And I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Thanks a lot for your call. It was kind of hard to hear him there, but I think that his intuition is probably true. How do you make of that Al-Qaeda would want Bush to stay in office?
Why wouldn't they want him to stay in office? He's done everything they've wanted all along.
Yes.
You know, one of his favorite lines when he goes on the stump is, they hit us because they thought we were soft.
Yeah.
Where does he get that idea? They hit us because they knew we would hit back.
Right.
Because what they wanted – was
this
a war.
That right. Now, this is interesting that we talked about. My producer brought up to me was that terror is really a mode. It's a tactic. It's not a country. It's not specific to necessarily any group or individuals. It happens to be Muslims right now, but it could be anything. So the idea of having a war against a mode of operations. And specifically this one, it could go on forever. This is like the perfect enemy they've invented, yeah?
Well, it is. Absolutely. But I'm afraid, imputes too much rationality to what they do.
Okay.
I mean, there's more and more evidence that satisfies me that way up at the top and deep in the inside, there are people who see this as a religious war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to go. Will you hang out for a minute, though, and come back with another segment? Thanks a lot. We're with Mark Crispin Miller. We're going to keep that conversation going about religious wars. Who's got a question? And maybe we'll take a couple of your questions again, too, here on Air America Radio.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinamone. And since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter, but in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit buildup, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax bush once and for all.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Good morning. We're coming in for landing. I will be going to L.A. in just a couple of hours. This is Morning's Edition with Mark Maron here, me, with Mark Riley there, him.
I'm Sue having Ellicott a
over
moment.
There. Got Mark Crispin Miller in the house. We've had quite a morning. Thank you for all of you going to vote at Hannity.com. With the poll number is now 70% Kerry, 28% Bush, and Nader taking the two.
And you're doing great work. Keep going to Hannity.com and keep voting, because we want to surprise Sean and people who like to go to his website for the other reason to see what's going on. Also, a great email here. What's great is that this is the first time we've had a warning from the government about terrorism since Air America has been on the air. Now, finally, we have some real discussion about the validity of these threats. You guys are talking about stuff that I've always thought of but have never heard about from the mainstream media. You are doing America a great service. Finally, someone is saying, don't be scared by the Bush nonsense, by this Bush nonsense. Nice.
Very nice.
Now, what we left off with is a heavy thing.
It's a very heavy thing.
It's a big thing about Sue's point about the – did you want to make it?
No, I just wanted to ask a quick question, really, that all this fear that the Bush crowd are putting around, what can John Kerry say? What can someone say to stop Americans being afraid?
Well, I think he can say the same kind of things we've been saying, basically. I mean, he'll put it in his own way, no doubt, and it'll be more laid back coming from him. But, people will respond to a plea for level-headedness and maybe the historical point that there's something extremely dangerous for a democracy to succumb every time those in power say, you know, duck. Look out. We got your back covered.
Right. He should lay out what...
Actually, I just thought of something. I put on my propagandist hat.
Yeah.
He should counterattack by listing, cataloging all the ways in which this administration has failed utterly to make us safer, should there be another attack.
Yeah, we should actually catalog that. I appreciate you being here. Obviously, we didn't get to the religious elements that we wanted to talk about this war. We'll definitely have you back, but maybe if we're all still here, we'll have that conversation another time.
We're not in camp.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. But it's always great having you, Mark Crispin Miller.
Thanks.
In the studio. That's good timing. Here's our liberal agenda, and it's actually coming out of the fax machine now, if I'm going to play along. Here's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Get your pencils and notebooks and get ready. One, host annual Barbstock Memorial Day vegan barbecue to honor all those who avoided the Vietnam War. Two, demand hook and eye patch sensitivity training for soldiers interrogating radical Muslim cleric Abu Hamza. Three, protest the day after tomorrow for sugarcoating the threat of global warming. Four, demand Al-Qaeda truck bombs meet pre-existing EPA clean air standards. And protest Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban for the cruelty to mythical beasts that occurs in that film. There you go. Have a great long weekend. It's 71% to 28%. Thank you for all for going to Hannity.com. And keep doing it. Keep doing it.
Folks, have a nice trip. Mark, Sue.
Happy Memorial Day weekend.
Happy Memorial Day weekend. Coming up on Monday's morning's edition, Greg Giraldo, Tim Robbins, and a whole generation of Bushisms. It's a special Memorial Day show with highlights of the best moments from morning's edition. That's Monday here on Air America Radio.
Air America Radio merchandise on sale now at airamericaradio.com. airamericaradio.com. All your clothes suck, so buy ours. The Air America Radio thong. Classic, elegant, and just one of dozens of new items on sale now at airamericaradio.com. Wear your descent or just drink coffee from it. Air America Radio merchandise on sale now.
You need to buy or sell your home, but where do you start?
Sorry to interrupt, but the place to start is LendingTree.com. You can search home listings, have real estate agents compete for your business, and bankers compete for your mortgage. You can even get up to a $2,000 gift card to the Home Depot when you close with an agent certified by LendingTree. Call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE, or visit LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details and licensing. LendingTree, Inc. is not affiliated with the Home Depot.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.